See those little black boxes? They're called telephones. I'm gonna let you on a little secret about these telephones. They're not gonna dial themselves, okay? Without you, they're just worthless hunks of plastic. Like a loaded M16 without a trained Marine to pull the trigger. And in the case of the telephone, it's up to each and every one of you, my highly trained Strattonites, my killers who will not take no for an answer, my fucking warriors, who will not hang up the phone until their client either buys or fucking dies! There is no nobility in poverty. I have been a rich man and I have been a poor man, and I choose rich every fucking time. Because at least as a rich man, when I have to face my problems, I show up in the back of a limo wearing a $2,000 suit and a $40,000 gold fucking watch.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema. Presto Pizza, Presto Pizza, Presto Pizza.
Oh, let's turn it down just a bit. How you doing? Welcome to episode 136 of Cinema Crespo. So I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. How's it going out there? Drew Zakaga, we're turning down the volume. Drew, how you doing, Drew?
Doing okay.
I'll give you one of these.
That was burning my ears, man.
Sorry, dude.
Shit is loud.
That shit is mad loud.
Is it loud for you guys?
Yeah.
You gotta turn it down already.
Way loud, man. Way loud.
There we go.
I need a drink.
People need to... Drew's gonna get a drink. Drew's already out. Thanks, Drew. We appreciate it for coming on the show. Good guy.
Hey, are we on?
Yeah, we started.
Oh, hey.
That's SBK. Kevin, how you doing?
I attacked the microphone.
SBK attacks?
Yeah, I hold a microphone like a grudge.
Gotta hold it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think of Vanilla Ice line, and it escaped me.
Oh, good.
Which is embarrassing for several reasons.
Hey, I'm in the new studio.
Welcome to the new studio, Kevin. This is part of why I wanted to have you back on.
I love the new studio.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so I know you love movies.
Love movies.
And you would say you love good movies.
Yes, I would.
And you don't make them, so you can't, you know, it's not really on you if the movie's bad.
It's not, but it is on me if I like it
or
not.
You like to pick why. Like, sometimes you'll say, I'll say, hey, man, are you going to see this movie? Like, hell no, I ain't wasting my time on that.
Hey, you right? Know, if it's got Kevin James, I know I'm getting into, so I'm not going to be going, right?
Screw that guy. You have a 50 Shades of Grey and a Madea Christmas.
Madea Christmas.
Tyler Perry made a
Tyler
Christmas.
Perry.
Tyler Perry made a Christmas.
He made a Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Tyler Perry. It says right there. Tyler Perry made a Christmas.
If you drop the A, the first A, made a Christmas.
Oh.
Madea Christmas made a Christmas.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
we do. We have very silly posters up there amongst ones like Lego Movie and Pacific Rim. And
Good, Vertigo. Bad, and
Vertigo. Right, which are good movies. I was thinking maybe it's because the size of the poster fit the space that you needed to fill, not because you love the movie.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did for that wall. We
explain
used,
yourself.
For that wall, we used everything that we had poster wise to try to fill up the wall.
We just kind of put it together, tried to fill it as much as we could.
Those posters, 50 Shades of Grey and Tyler Perry Made at Christmas, were both sent to us specifically by a listener, along with the Godzilla one, the Lego Movie one, and the Pacific Rim.
I like the Watchmen and theme the at the one. Bottom.
Oh, all the Watchmen posters.
I like
on the
that.
Those are all Drew Chicago.
I like how y'all fucked up the Vertigo poster.
Yep.
Well, it's a reprint.
Oh.
Yeah. Is it, so it's not like an original or anything.
No, but it, I mean, you still fucked it up.
And it's Vertigo, though.
Yeah. I get it. That's the joke.
Okay, yeah.
And then the Naked Ladies on the wall over here.
Well, they're all movie related. You got, see, the Thing and Tron and Star Wars.
Doctor Who.
Species. Psycho. Carrie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're actually movie related.
I like the one at the bottom with the twins. What's that about?
Oh, Shining.
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy, too.
It's creepy. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and probably...
for some people, arousing.
How would I say? Pedophilic?
Yes. Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Molesty. Child molesty. Uh-huh. Yeah, some people should feel ashamed of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
Those were given to us by a listener, and the reason they were given to us is because we do our every year Oscar picks episode.
Yes.
And 2 years ago... The listeners chose that the loser of the Oscar picks had to watch Tyler Perry Made at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, or this year specifically, the loser had to watch 50 Shades of Grey.
Ooh.
So Drew had to watch Tyler Perry. I had to watch 50 Shades of Grey. We both ended up watching both movies anyway.
Unfortunately.
Damn. That's horrible.
And we're sharing in the pain.
And Drew got the better movie because Tyler Perry's Made at Christmas is so much better than
Infinitely better than 50 Shades of Grey.
Really?
Yeah.
At least they tried to make people laugh. That's what they were going for.
They tried. There was a plot. There was story.
It might not be your type of story, but they tried to give you one.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, 50 Shades of Grey, there was no plot. There was no discernible story.
So
there was
boring.
No
and at least there's something you can relate to Christmas.
No drama.
You know, it's Christmas.
Uh-huh. And the amount of racism in that movie is astounding.
The Tyler Perry movie?
Yes.
Yeah. What kind of racism?
The characters.
Black on white racism?
Yes.
Black on black racism? Or black
or
white on black racism?
Also, no. It's just
everything but white on black racism.
It's just all trafficking and stereotypes 100% of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I bet it made so much money off that movie.
Probably. I think it did make it. But I mean, his movies usually make 60, 70, 80 million. And they cost maybe like
you can't stop that guy.
And they cost at the most 20. His Madea movies cost 20. His other ones cost less. You cannot stop him.
Can I say I am a fan of Tyler Perry? Not his movies. I've never seen one.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have seen one.
Lifetime gross of $52 million.
There you go.
For Christmas,
Tyler Perry Made at Christmas.
I am a fan of the story of Tyler Perry.
What
he was able to do.
His rags to riches thing.
Yeah, that is incredible. Like, I root for the guy to win, even though he's producing stuff that, I mean, I won't ever help him win.
Yeah, and some people even consider it to be like, you know, kind of like buffoonery. I think Spike Lee has come out against
buffoonery,
Tyler Perry
coonery,
stuff. Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
The coon train.
Yeah, that's what that's what Spike Lee called it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've seen the Christmas one.
I saw one of serious movies.
So did I.
One with Jill Scott in it.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
He played a husband.
For All the Colored Girls?
No, it was a girl who worked at a job, and she had a white boss, and she was in love with the white boss. And Tyler Perry was a friend of the family, and he had a stable marriage going.
Why did I
get married?
Okay.
I saw that. That was actually... But it wasn't Madea, see?
It was a different thing.
Right.
Because he does the serious stuff, too.
The serious stuff was good.
The one that I saw was one where the lady, she has, and I think, was it Gabriel Union? Maybe not. She is married to a dude, and he's like the perfect guy. He's a nice husband. He's a nice dude. Very, very straight.
Mm-hmm.
But she meets some other guy who's like very, very sexy. And so she cheats. With this guy who ends up literally being the devil, and then she gets AIDS.
I heard.
Seriously,
that's what happened when you fuck the devil.
Yeah.
You get AIDS,
and then the movie ends, and it's all on her. Like, she's the evil person for stepping out on her man and giving him the temptation.
I heard about this movie.
Actually, I think it was called Temptation.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
Tyler Perry's Temptation:
Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
There we go. That
okay,
was Temptation. Whole thing. Colon,
yeah. Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Damn.
And it is not good. And it's actually a pretty despicable movie in terms of its message.
Well, yeah, that's a horrible way to end any movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When your main character just gets AIDS.
And dies.
Speaking of which,
speaking
of which, we'll talk about a little bit of that in a minute. Before we do start the show, I want to get a couple things out of the way. Number one, first off, go to kidneyforkevin.com, please.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, can you forget about that? What are you talking about?
Dude, it's your kidney, bro.
I know. Well, I don't think about that. It's bad.
I
think about the new one.
I understand that, yeah.
That someone's walking around with right now. Yeah, hey, eat healthy.
Just ready to give it to
you. Go to Whole Foods.
Get that asparagus.
Spend that money.
Don't eat too much calcium. The calcium buildups, that's not good. That's where you get the kidneys.
You don't want stones.
I don't want
stones. You don't want a stone heavy kidney.
No, now. I don't. I don't want a stoned kidney either.
Yeah, actually, you won't be able to get one, will you?
No.
Nope.
Unless you get it from California. They just eased up. Now you can.
Their donor laws?
You can be THC positive and still get a transplant. In California.
It's funny that you brought that up. I've been following that because it's not happening in Florida.
No, of course not.
So I am THC free, but you think about it, those two laws go against one another. You can't penalize people if the law of the land says you can have a prescription for medical marijuana, but you can't get on the list because you have it. My doctor, well, hey, yeah, I got to straighten that shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my doctor subscribed me weed for my kidney pain.
And this guy's a doctor last time I checked.
But now you're telling me, nah, I can't get a new kidney.
Yeah, he gave me a prescription because my knee, sometimes it gets funny. I got a trick knee.
I got that bad back.
Right.
Doc says he had a backiotomy.
Oh, yeah.
So kidneyforkevin.com. Go there, donate, help out, share it, let people know.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And also, listen, in the second half of the show, the top part of the second half when we do the plugs is when we're going to do the Doug Loves Movies ticket giveaway. Kevin.
Yes.
I'm going to be on Doug Loves Movies.
Man, that's awesome.
It is pretty awesome. It's a gigantic show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll put it in the top 10 of podcasts nationally.
So you'll get to plug your show.
Yes, I get to plug everything.
That's awesome.
Yes, it'll be a lot of
now,
fun.
Now, does Doug know you're a movie guy?
I hope so. Yeah, I believe he
knows.
He did contact me through the Crespediso show account.
Okay.
So
he does know that you're
I'm a podcaster.
His competition.
Not a competition.
It is.
Nah.
What if you disagree with the movie of his?
Then we have a fun conversation about our differing opinions.
Are you going to go there to what is your goal? What do you want to get out of this?
Exposure.
Okay.
Because it's a nationally.
So you're not going
international fame podcast. He just did his first show recorded in London.
You're not going there to, like, you know, out him or to get him.
No, I want to go. No, I want to go there to.
This is not like that.
I want to ingratiate myself with him and be his buddy.
You're not going to. So he says something about a movie that you think you personally think is just totally wrong and ass backwards.
He has sometimes. He has his
will
own.
Will you tell him? The people want to know.
I'll tell him that I'll disagree. I'm like, I disagree with that. And then he'll be like, I disagree with you.
What if it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life?
I would be surprised. I've been listening to him for years now.
Oh, he's never went that far.
He's never gone that far. He said, he's obviously no one. We don't all like the same things.
Right.
So he's talking about some movies. Like, yeah, I don't think that movie's too good. Like even most recently with Mad Max Fury Road.
Which you saw like five times in the theater.
Three times.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I love it that much.
You'll see it again.
I will see it again. It's coming on DVD in a couple weeks, as a matter of fact. So I'll watch it every day for a little while. He likes it, but he doesn't see what everyone else likes so much about it.
Okay.
You know, and I get mad that he doesn't see my side of my opinion.
Okay.
And it's cool, man.
I mean, he still likes The Corner, Chris. Yeah. He just doesn't think it's as shiny as you think it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, name a better movie.
That's what I would say.
Name a better action movie.
And he'd probably name a bunch of them.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I don't know. Maybe he likes John Wick more than Mad Max. What, am I going to argue against that? John Wick's pretty awesome. Have you seen John Wick?
No, I haven't.
The Keanu Reeves movie?
Keanu Reeves kills hundreds of people because they killed his puppy.
It's pretty awesome, dude. It's really
good. No, seriously.
Is it set in modern day?
Yes.
And that is literally the plot.
Who kills his puppy?
Some Russian
assholes.
Why?
Some lackey Russian
idiots. Because they're idiots?
Yeah, because there was some low-level crime dudes who they saw his car at a gas station, so they tracked him back to his house.
Just because
they wanted to steal his car and beat him up because they felt disrespected at the gas station or whatever.
And they killed his puppy.
And then the puppy came out and was barking, so one dude is a stupid asshole, killed the puppy.
And that sets him off.
That sets him off.
Oh, does
because
it ever.
Because the puppy was a gift from his dying wife.
He went straight Neo on him, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he really did.
And it's the type of thing where John Wick, in this world, John Wick has already retired. Mm-hmm. So he's actually sort of coming out of retirement to kill all these people. So word is getting around the city. Oh, shit.
John Wick's back.
People have like the most immense respect for John Wick.
I had to check this out.
It's what makes the movie so much
fun. What's it called?
John Wick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wondered.
It's on HBO. HBO movies, like HBO Now and all that all stuff. Right. So it's out there for sure.
Man, that is the craziest plot I've heard.
It's so awesome.
It's set up like within 5-10 minutes.
And that's not even the first movie that year I had seen with a dead dog as a main plot device.
What was the other one?
Rover.
Oh yeah, the Rover. There's a
dead he just dog. Wants his, he just wants his dead dog back so he can bury it.
It's like an Australian anti-Western and then post-apocalyptic.
Okay,
and the guy's just trying to get his dead dog back.
It's no Old Yeller.
No, it's not.
No, mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Or Sounder.
But
I never saw Sounder.
The what? Never saw Sounder. You gotta see Sounder. It's sad, man. It's sad.
The amount of people
sad that, dog movies.
The amount of people that die due to these dogs being dead is just astounding.
Yeah, you should really stop killing dogs in movies because it's not good for the characters.
No.
Hey, so can I tell you really quick? My Please. Fiance, she's out and about last Sunday, and she sends me a picture, and she says, "I'm at the stoplight, and I see this." And she goes,
"Hey,
she goes, I think I might know. This seems like someone I would know." Yeah, I go, "That's Crespo."
She was behind me.
He's got the Bichon Frise back on magnet on there too.
Yeah, the Bichon Frise gives
and that's what get one. Actually, I think if she would have cropped that out, I still would have got it with the other things that are on there.
Tom and Dan, Swamp Patrol, SBK,
in Orlando City. Yeah. I was like, "Yeah, that's Crespo."
Yeah, I mean, it's all those things.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is really funny. She was behind me stalking me, taking pictures and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird. That's hysterical. It's a small world, man.
Maybe you were at Walgreens.
That's possible.
No, she said you were at the light turning in onto the road to come into your place.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're right up the road, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Same neighborhood, bro. Yeah. We're neighborhood buddies. How can we never see each other at Winn-Dixie? You ever go to Winn-Dixie?
You go to that Winn-Dixie way up there?
No, I never go.
Oh, okay. No. I do because now that I'm on the road all the time, I can get discount on gas from Shell.
Oh, really?
But I don't like... I'm a Publix and a Whole Foods man.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie is. Although that one there, they renovated.
I hate to say it.
They got that part there that's all the wood floors now.
They don't cut up the watermelon right in there.
Oh, they don't? What are they? They cut in cubes?
Publix has. No, I like the cubes. Okay. No, they have stalks. I hate to say it. I like to get the fruit, the pre-cut fruit from Publix. It's fresh. It's always good.
Pop it open, eat it.
It's pre-cut.
And it's very affordable.
Yeah.
Now, I like Whole Foods, but their fruit... It's in nice little containers, but it's way too expensive, so I don't get it there.
I like getting the pre-cut fruit that you can then dump into like a container and then put a bunch of booze in there, a little bit of Sprite.
Oh, that's what you do? A little Sprite?
A little bit of white wine.
Sprite and white wine?
Turn into a sangria.
Is that what that is?
It's white sangria. Some vodka.
Oh, like pineapple?
You could do pineapple, you could do apples, lemons,
sangria limes. Gives me a wicked headache.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Might be the salt.
It's all the sugar.
Whenever
all the sugar too. Yeah.
Whenever I go to like a Mexican place, sangria is always a great idea, and then I pay for it later.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe because you drink more of it than you intend to, and you forget that it's extra
I mean,
boozy.
I pay for it there. I don't just like drink it and run out, but then I really pay for it later.
You pay for it physically.
Oh, yeah.
Physiologically.
Ooh,
yeah. As well as financially.
Shit and fruit.
That's not good. You're supposed to chew it up first.
Nah, you just recycle it.
So listen, in the second half of the show, I'll tell you how you can enter the giveaway I have here in my... Actually, it's right here.
What do you got?
Right here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Four tickets right there.
Fat envelope.
That is a fat envelope. But the tickets are so thin. It's because there's a piece of cardboard in there. Tickets for Duggo's movies. I have four of them. I'm giving away two sets of two tickets. I already have people who have entered the contest. Listen in the second half of the show to find out how you can enter. Next week, we'll be announcing the winners. And then come check me out September 9th. It's a Wednesday. 8 p.m. show starts at the Orlando Improv. You have to be 21 and over.
Doors at 7.
Doors are at 7.
September 9th.
September 9th.
Awesome.
Doors at 7. Shows at 8. Ends about 9:30-ish. And you must be 21 and you must have valid ID showing you're 21 to get in. So there you go.
That's going to be fun.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. We'll talk about a little bit of that. A little bit more. Second half of the show. Let's get this thing started. How does that sound? 20 minutes in. Yeah, let's get the show started. Netflix into the pick of the week intro. Here we go.
All right.
For the entertainment that you see. Time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week.
All right, Netflix into the pick of the week time. SBK user Crest producer randomizer 9000. Juicy Cochran's going to verify if the movie's still on there. You can go to chriscrespo.com for past Netflix instant picks of the week. See, what was last week? Last week was... Not the killer. That was a few weeks ago. Oh, Fruitvale Station. Fruitvale Station.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was last week's pick of the week. Love that movie. Yeah. So intense. I can only watch it once, though. I can only cry so many
times.
It's
a sad movie.
You know? It was sad.
It's brutal, but it's so good. Michael B. Jordan, man.
Yeah, he's the man.
That guy is going to be huge.
That movie.
He was good in Fantastic Four, too.
Was he?
Yeah. He's good.
I heard that was a hunk.
The movie's not that good.
But he was good.
He's fine.
Okay.
It's Michael B. Jordan.
All right.
And then he's going to be in that Creed movie coming out.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
And same director, the guy who did Fruitvale Station. Creed was his idea. Took it to Stallone. Stallone was like, let's do it.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, smart guy. Yeah. Very smart guy. SBK, you have the Netflix instant pick of the week in front of you, do you not?
Ow!
The Wolf of Wall Street. You know how crazy that is? Can I tell you why that's crazy?
Why is that crazy?
Because I start every show with a little clip from a movie, mm-hmm. and this week I totally started with a clip from
The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, because one of the scenes where he does his crazy motivational speeches to this floor of salespeople, mm-hmm. and it's like he thinks he's a football coach or something, and he's just like going off and yelling at them and being all really weird and kind of creepy and awkward. I totally picked that. It just came into my head. I just chose it. This was a totally random pick. You reach into the randomizer, pull that Wolf of Wall Street. That's insane. That's insane, dude.
I would say that, how can I say it? I like The Wolf of Wall Street. I thought it was a great movie, mm-hmm. but I'm not crazy, super crazy about it like most people who saw it.
Right.
It was good.
I really like it.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, I'm all right.
What really surprised me about it is that it's Martin Scorsese. Mm-hmm. When he made it at that time, he was like 73, an older gentleman for sure.
Right.
But the movie has the energy and the verve of
the nudity
of a film made by a much younger person. I felt like it was a movie made by someone in their 30s.
Okay.
You know, like this movie is full of life. And I guess Martin Scorsese himself is still that way. Inside, he's still full of life, young man.
I guess it reminds me of crooked people I've worked for.
Oh, for sure.
So it was hard for me to get on the side of that guy and celebrate it.
There is a thing.
His excess and his ripping people off.
Yeah, there is a thing where the lead of your movie is a total asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the things he's doing is shitty.
And what I'm saying, I love it. There's a lot of people that kind of root for that guy.
Oh, those people are assholes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, no, those people are people you know. Like,
yeah, they're assholes. Normal people. That's fine. They can still be assholes. I mean, I love the movie. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for what's his name, like Jordan, something like that. I'm not rooting for the main character. I'm enjoying watching him go into his Quaalude overdose, where he's like freaking out and crawling around the ground and driving around. And
that was funny.
Yeah, and all his crazy motivational speeches. I'm enjoying watching them.
I'm not
at the end of the day, I'm not a fan of what he's doing.
I'm not a fan of Jonah Hill either.
That movie or him.
I can take him or leave him. He doesn't like kill a movie for me. He's not on my shit list. Okay. Like, oh, I ain't got all that.
Like
guy.
A Will Ferrell.
He's not like that guy.
Okay.
Where I avoid him like the plague. Uh-huh. But I'm not like rah, rah, rah.
Sure.
Like, if you said he was here at your house, I may or may not stop.
He might just say,
depending if I have to go to the grocery store or not.
If it's on the way.
Oh, man. I mean, you might as well stop by. I mean, I'll hang out for a bit if he's here.
He'll be here.
No, he won't. Not ever.
I'll be here.
Okay.
No, I mean you. You'd be here.
Maybe.
So you love Jonah Hill.
We'll get Jonah Hill in here one day.
I like his dramatic work a lot more than I like his comedic work. He does some good comedy.
Moneyball?
But Moneyball, and even here in The Wolf of Wall Street, he's good.
He is pretty good.
He's got the chops.
I still like him in the comedies, though. 21 and 22 Jump Street.
I mean, he was...
He makes a good team up with Channing Tatum.
I think those two make a good duo, but, you know, you take Channing Tatum out of the...
He still needs someone else, like Michael Cera.
Exactly.
Oh, he needs somebody to counterbalance him.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He needs number two, man.
Unless he's in then you have something like The Sitter, where it's just him.
Yeah.
I still thought it was a great movie, The Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I would recommend it to people, but I mean, that's just what I took away from it.
I was supposed to hate the guy, though,
because he's a hateable guy.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
I guess that's,
Yeah, he's a horrible person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even horrible people need their stories told.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so he can be like, oh, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Sometimes that's what you want to go to a movie to hate somebody.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Like when you hate watch something.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, fuck that dude.
I hate watch CNN and Don Lemon.
Yes. Fuck that guy.
Guy sucks lemons.
Guy's the worst.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking Uncle Don. Box office recap time. Drew.
Sir.
What are you doing over there? You're playing your Fallout game? Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't we put that away and actually do the show here?
And by the way, Don Lemon's going to single-handedly get Donald Trump elected.
No, you can't, Drew.
You what?
He's going to single-handedly get Donald Trump elected. He has him on the show.
Sucking his dick.
He loves it.
He's just trying to get a show on Fox.
I know, but I mean...
Fox pays more, probably.
But him trying to get... No, he wants to be the odd man out on CNN. Because in Fox, he would fit in too well.
He wouldn't even
be special anymore.
He is the odd man out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
Was he going to be up against Megyn Kelly?
They put him and Stacey Dash together and give him a show.
Oh.
It could be their version of the Minority Report. What was Will Moore's show's real name? The Nightly Show.
Oh,
there'll be the Republican version of The Nightly Show with Don Lemon and Stacey Dash.
Man.
That'd be awful.
Wouldn't that just be the worst?
It would. That'd be worse. I mean, I might watch it just to see how bad
it gets.
Just see how bad
that's
it gets. That's what I do. Yeah. I hate watching.
They'd be the type of people to have on the two ladies. Did you hear about the two ladies that went to the Bernie Sanders rally in Seattle and shut it down?
Yes, they
did. Saying they were Black Lives Matter, but they're not. They're from another group, and they just co-opted the Black Lives Matter name for publicity.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not true.
Yeah,
actually,
they're part of Organizers 206,
which is a
black nationalist group.
I have
and Black Lives Matter has come out, but like they're not part of us.
I have a podcast for you to listen to. They only did one interview. They've only done one public interview since that, and they dispelled everything you're saying.
Interesting.
And they said that was put out to smear them.
Interesting.
You probably heard something about one of them supporting Sarah Palin too.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that is smeared, dude. All of that is smeared.
Is it?
Yeah. They're on Twib, on the Twib show I told you about.
Okay.
They gave them the two. They go, we're not doing any more press. We're doing Twib. And they debunked. They said, what you're hearing in the media about us being involved and all, they debunked all of that. All
right. Because then how come the rest of the Black Lives Matter movement came out and was like, nah, we're not about shutting down fucking the one candidate that marched with Martin Luther King Jr. We're not about shutting that down.
No, man. Oh, man. That's a smear. That's the reason why they've been getting bagged on.
A smear from who?
That's a smear from whoever's trying to discredit Black Lives Matter. Hey, I don't want to get on a tangent here.
Let's
because,
do it.
Because that is the Black Lives Matter movement. That is what they're trying to do. They are trying to shut down Bernie Sanders until he addresses it, because what pissed them off is when they go, he marched with Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. That's basically saying, so just shut up.
Of all the candidates, he's the only one that speaks about civil rights in any way.
I know, but you have to specifically address certain concerns. And I think what they're doing
is what he's been doing. He came out with a four-point thing.
He didn't until he was shut down twice.
Mm-hmm. All right. But he has since then has had Black Lives Matter activists open his rallies.
He has to now to keep from getting shut down.
Okay. So he's proven I'm on your side.
Why
are you still shitting on him? I don't understand. Of all the candidates, why shit on him the hardest?
Okay, because if there was... If Black Lives Matter's movement is really, you know, it's specifically addressing black people getting taken advantage of
in the criminal justice system, economically,
and the cops and all of that kind
new
of
Jim
stuff.
Crow.
If that was rape, then the tactic, would you hate on the tactic? Then if there were black people getting, black women getting raped the way people are getting hate on by the police.
Okay.
There's no polite way to say stop raping me. There's no polite way to say stop shooting people in the back and shooting people in the street. So it's urgent. And the way you get Bernie Sanders is the only person they can get to. Hillary Clinton's former Secretary of State, former First Lady, former Senator. She's got so much security, you couldn't get anywhere. So once you attack Bernie Sanders, this is their strategy. I'm telling you.
Okay.
This is their strategy. What if we can get to Bernie? And by getting to Bernie, we get to everyone else, because we have forced them to address the issue. None of these people had plans like that until they started getting this shit shut down.
Sure, until they started showing up.
That was their tactic.
Okay.
And you don't have to be polite about that.
No, I understand that.
I don't think so.
I agree with all that.
Right.
So you're saying they jumped on Bernie because, first off, they knew he'd be the first one to welcome them into the campaign.
The first thing that happened was there's Bernie Sanders fans started saying, hey, Bernie Sanders marched with Martin Luther King.
And he's been talking about civil rights go ahead.
But starting with that, then the people
who suffered 20 years.
The people who started with the hashtag Black Lives Matter were like, okay, that's cool, but we have a certain set of issues that are happening right now.
Right.
And you need to address them. And he was like, what? He just kind of gave him a little, he's turned down multiple meetings with these people all the time. And they go, okay, well, if you won't take our meetings, we'll start showing up at your rallies to get you to address this. My point is, he hit them back with that whole kind of like, okay, I marched with Martin Luther King, okay? I ain't got to prove myself. And so then people like on the black guy who tips, he got a run nationally. He was on NPR last week because he started the hashtag Bernie Sanders is so black. And people started going in like, Bernie Sanders was so black, he helped write the Chronic.
That's funny.
Bernie Sanders is so black, he showed me how to cook collard greens.
Yeah.
And people were making a joke about that, because basically he was saying, I marched with Martin Luther King, so shut up, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. That's how people took it. But then when he started the hashtag, Bernie Sanders is so black, his fans didn't take that they were just mocking him. They weren't attacking him. They were just mocking him.
Mm-hmm.
The mocking turned into an attack
Sure.
because they didn't really hear them out. Now all of this stuff that you're talking about, yes, he is the only one doing it, but he's doing it even more so now. He's hired a publicist from Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. That's because he's gotten shut down twice. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton, they've been trying to get into every Hillary Clinton event, but they can't.
And that should tell you way more about what's going on over there.
I can't support Hillary.
People shouldn't be supporting Hillary. She's in the pockets of the banks, of the prison companies, the private prisons. They donate money to all their campaigns. Yeah, they set up the prisons and then they're donating money.
More black guys in jail than anything else. He mm-hmm. fucked up welfare. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Hillary was running against Barack Obama in 2008. Yes. I remember what happened in South Carolina where she tried to. She really tried to get him on some racial shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Appeal to the racism of the region?
Yeah, she really did. I don't know.
She's a typical politician,
but
man.
Here's the thing. You might end up, if she gets the nominee, you might end up still having to support her.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, if she becomes the Democratic nominee, I'm definitely voting for her because the options on the other side are so absurd.
They're bad and then worse.
They're so amazingly absurd.
Yeah. Like, and if Trump gets in, what are you going to do then?
Well, he's not going to get in. Because he can't get more than 20% of his own voter base.
I understand that.
A quarter of the national population.
Let's just, in this world, something happened.
Can you imagine if he did, though?
Yeah, if he did, though, what would happen? Because Obama did. He got in.
I blew my fucking mind.
Obama actually had a political campaign strategist and platforms and stuff. Trump is doing this for the publicity.
You've been hearing Trump, right? Yeah. You've been hearing how he really doesn't answer questions. And he's like, hey, look, we're going to make this country great. You know what? Just trust me. I make deals, man. I know how to read a contract.
No, we're going to make this country great again. Yeah, bring it back to the old way.
And he says it hasn't been good since Reagan was president.
Yeah, right. Trickle down. Right. Yeah, sure.
And then
law and order and all that stuff.
But the thing is, he doesn't really answer questions. But my thing about Donald Trump is the reason why he's polling so heavy right now, this is a direct correlation to how much people hate a black guy being president.
Yes.
This is backlash. Like, take this. When he says, make this country great again, put a white guy in there who can talk the talk.
That's what that means.
We'd rather have, and when it comes to spending, we'd rather have a white guy writing the checks.
Yeah. And that's what that means. When all these candidates are talking about, let's bring it back to the old values of America. They're talking about 1950s America, segregation, separate but equal, women in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant, white man at the top of the patriarchy. That's what they're talking about when they say, let's make America great
again. Surprised he hasn't totally flamed out yet.
I'm surprised.
I thought
too.
The Latino comments would have gotten it.
It would have been, should have been faster.
And then the women's stuff would have gotten
him. And then the shitting on John McCain and prisoners of war.
I thought that would have gotten him. He gets stronger.
Yeah.
You know,
because the media keeps propping him up.
And he goes, oh, Latinos love me. I employ plenty of them. I'm like, you know what? And they hate your ass, man.
They
have to pay. They're working because there's a job.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, I'm going to put jobs in this country. You know, and I'm going to, you know, that was a bad deal with Iran. And I'm going to make this shit right. And I know contracts.
And China's economy is China's going to destroy us. Meanwhile, he's shipping all his jobs out. All his clothes get made in China, man, from cheap slave labor.
If this guy wins, it's going to be... Now I see on the reverse side how people felt like about Obama.
I guess so.
Like how they hated him.
But even then,
Trump. But I'm saying I can feel how they were so... I feel... Because I didn't understand it was just like heat.
Yeah.
Just straight up heat. And I'm like, where is this coming from?
So passionate.
I feel that heat about Trump.
Yeah.
So the heat is equal.
The heat is on.
Yeah.
The heat is on.
So is he going to win?
Trump?
Yeah.
Not even close.
Don't count him out, dude.
Not even close.
Do not count him out.
I'm telling you.
He makes Jeb Bush look like a wimp.
Jeb is a wimp.
Jeb
is proving to be pretty wimpy this political season.
What Donald
He's so
Trump,
wishy-washy.
Donald Trump is... Okay, everybody else is running for president, and Donald Trump is putting on a show. And people are responding to the show now.
Yeah.
He's like, it's a rap battle.
It's entertainment.
And he's like... Donald Trump is doing the equivalent of just going, yo mama. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, is that my Joe?
Yeah, dude, he just calls people like, you're a loser.
You're
like,
a loser.
Yeah.
He goes, I love how he does that. He'll be like, hey, look, he's a loser, and I don't know why he's going to be on, and I'm on your show now, so you're getting incredible ratings. You know, this he does this sleight of hand type of thing.
He talks like a pro wrestler.
Why are people so responding to that so much?
That's why I want to talk. I desperately want to find people that are like all in for Trump. I want to ask him, what is he? Because this is whole thing where he's like, Trump is saying the things that people want to hear that they identify with. I want to know what. Is it the shit against Mexicans?
I'm going to build a wall and make them pay for it.
I'm
going
to build a wall. So is it racist bullshit that you're identifying with? Is it the women hating, the chauvinist pig stuff, dehumanizing women? Or is that what you're identifying with? I want to know what aspect of this troll's horrible personality that you're like, this is my man.
I don't know why I don't really have a deep connection with the immigration issue. I don't know if it's because I don't live on a border state or is it because I just think that, I mean, we're kind of all...
Well, human immigration.
But I'm saying we kind of all immigrated to this
country.
Yeah,
all of us.
I don't see why we're just like cutting people out now.
A lot of us by force.
You know, and we're cooking a lot of good barbecue over here, and that smell is wafting over the fence. And yeah. These people go, whoo, shit, yeah, man, that's ribs over there.
I want to get that food. Yeah. It smells so inviting.
And yeah, and there's like crazy cartel and war down
there. It's all designed to keep us down, man. All the border paranoia and stuff. It's designed to keep us all separated, us versus them. Keep the poor people separate so that they don't focus all their attention on the rich. The Occupy movement was the scariest thing that happened to the rich in the last century.
I think it's also easier to be racist against people who are so-called illegal immigrants.
Yes.
So you can stand on the side that they're illegal.
Yeah.
You know, not that they never say they're Mexican, they're where from all these other South American countries.
Never acknowledge their nationality.
They never acknowledge that. They just say, well, they're illegal, and they're draining our resources, and they're committing crimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a lot of families, you know, working
a lot
hard.
Of families doing good stuff, and there's a lot of Americans doing all that
and
stuff.
Let's just get rid of them all, and then you'll be paying $20 for a tomato.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not going out of the field to pick that shit.
No, you're not.
That is some hard fucking work and not get paid for it.
Yeah, or you will never be able to afford a house.
Motherfuckers. This is the world we live in, bro.
Yeah, but man, I'm with you on the whole Bernie Sanders thing, but that is the biggest pushback that's coming from the Black Lives Matter people, is that how the whole don't hate on me. He shut them down. Like, he didn't want to hear anybody. He was just like, I march with King. So they're like, okay, motherfucker.
He was just
you the blackest guy out here,
He was just like, just let me do my thing.
Right.
And they were like, that's
not
enough.
And they went, we specifically want you to address A, B, and C. And now he is. And they're backing off of it.
Okay.
But
they showed up at a Jeb rally a week or so ago.
I'm a fan of people shutting shit down.
I am. I like the activism, and I like going for it.
It's better than these knuckleheads that are running around going to the clubs all the time and getting drunk.
Yeah, just partying. It
gives me hope that a part of the youth, because the civil rights movement was ran by young people.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's still people that are awake.
That are passionate about that.
And they're taking it further than just retweeting some shit and posting some bullshit on Facebook. They're actually like, it takes balls to do what they did. Mm-hmm. Like two girls, like the person climbing the chick climbing the flag and taking the rebel flag down.
Yeah, that like, Bree Newsom.
I would ride by that place and flip it off and be like, I wish I could take it down. But I probably wouldn't call somebody and go, let's take this motherfucker down.
Yeah, no, that chick was awesome.
Yeah.
That Bree Newsom chick
that's
was awesome.
Crazy.
All the pictures are on Twitter of her up there holding that shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then it's almost like you can't really prosecute her because...
But they did though.
No, they didn't. No, I don't think so.
They arrested her for sure.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
But they didn't bring charges. I mean, she was trespassing.
Yeah, but...
Still. On government property?
Yeah.
It seems kind of like, we're going to get you for that one. how dare you take down our citizens.
So what do? You knock all of the statues down?
I'm all for it. There's one at Lake Eola that I want to take down.
Of who?
Some Confederate asshole.
Man, I was in Titusville last night. So what did I do? I Googled Titus.
Did you?
Titus.
To see who Titus was?
Man, Titus was extra bad.
Oh, no. And the town same for him?
Man, Titus was from New Jersey.
Yeah.
He was born and raised in New Jersey. Then he moved to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Then he moved to Florida to fight with the Confederacy.
Ah, man.
Like, you tried real hard, buddy.
Son of a bitch.
Anyway.
New Jersey trash came. Hey, actually, that sounds pretty... Hey, nothing's changed.
You talk about movies on this podcast?
So, Drew Cogburn...
Sometimes.
...has the box office recap.
I mean, it's only been, what, like an hour?
No, we're at 38 minutes.
This is good stuff here.
This is good stuff. Support hashtag BLM, hashtag feel the burn.
So you're Bernie Sanders guy?
100%.
Okay.
He's very progressive.
He ain't gonna win, man.
Yeah, he is. He's very electable. He's drawing the largest crowds in the country.
He calls himself a socialist. Obama ran from that tag. He was not the socialist. Matter of fact, liberals...
It's a bad name in this country.
I know. And Bernie's trying to change that.
Not anymore.
Bernie's changed that.
But what I'm saying is that true liberals, people that are even more far to the left than Obama, well, he was a disappointment to those people.
Yeah.
Bernie is really embodying what those people thought Obama was going
to
be.
The best way to separate... The main reason I like Bernie so much, and I know you'll identify with this, Kevin, opensecrets.org.
Okay.
It's a website that you put in any candidate's name, any politician's name, and it'll give you comprehensive list of the donors, all the people that give them money,
right.
all the companies that give them money, and how much money they get. Put in any candidate from the left or the right, it's a huge list of oil corporations, banks. Banks are huge.
Right.
Investment firms, private prison corporations.
And they're throwing the money in both sides.
Everyone. Yeah. Everyone. Look at Hillary Clinton and look up Jeb Bush, and they're almost identical. Mm. Okay? So that's the whole two sides of the same coin thing. Right. Look up Bernie Sanders. Nothing but workers unions giving him tens of thousands of dollars as opposed
right.
to
the
millions.
Right. The average. I saw something. I saw Bernie Sanders today, and he was talking about that. He was on Meet the Press, and he said the average donation he's getting is about $31,
something like that,
50 cents per
from all the people. Those from are small donors, and then Jeb Bush donors. Announced his small donor average is $25,000. So who are his small donors?
Damn.
They're still fucking millionaires.
Yeah.
So Bernie, who's Bernie in the pocket of right now? He's in the pocket of the people.
Right. And the election is already, I mean, they've already put a down payment on it.
The people?
No.
All the other companies?
All the corporations?
Yeah, they have. And Bernie is trying to get
the people. Hillary on that side and Jeb on the other side, they've already...
Yes.
It's already been bought.
They got their sides covered.
They're good to go either way.
So Bernie Sanders would be the worst thing to happen to them.
Right.
And also Donald Trump.
I just hate...
Because he's financing himself.
And that's what they have in common.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea, even if you take Donald Trump and his politics out of it, I don't necessarily like the idea of a guy who's not beholden to anybody. He's not even beholden to the people.
Trump is not. No, Trump is beholden to himself.
Himself. This
yes,
is
that is the worst.
This is yeah. That's like a fucking dictator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That is the worst.
You know, don't worry about it. I got some stuff I'm gonna do here.
I'm gonna
know.
Take care of all this, and then in 4 years, like, you know what, America, we've gone bankrupt. It's cool. It's just a business tactic. Meanwhile, I'm here with my golden parachute. I got all the money.
You
know, I'm fine.
We're gonna go to Iraq, and we're just gonna take all the oil, and then all will be free. Yeah. All right. Don't worry about it. I got you. Come on. Look at my jet. Check it out. Look at it. I'm smart man. I'm a very smart man.
Yes.
I laugh when I hear it.
We're on the same page all this stuff. Man, yeah. I watched GOP debate. That was the best comedy I've seen all year. I'll tell you that much. Drewcy Cogburn's got the box office top five over there. Let's run through this. Here we go. Let's get to the movie that we've actually seen.
Coming to number five this week, The Gift. Made $6.5 million.
Not
total
bad.
Of 23.5.
We saw it's a Jason Bateman movie. Joel Edgerton came
it's
out
a
last
comedy?
Week.
No.
No.
Jason Bateman?
Oh, no. It's a drama. It's a
drama.
It's a twisty thriller drama type thing about a dude who...
Is Bateman a dude?
Bateman's a normal dude.
Bateman's a dude, yes.
Bateman's a normal
is he
dude.
You said it's about a dude. Well, is he the dude?
He's the dude
okay.
who moves back to his hometown, and an old high school acquaintance like comes back into his life, and he's like, hey, how's it going? And tries to befriend him, but Jason Bateman doesn't want to be his friend, and it turns out, oh, some
yes!
shit is going
and
down.
And he keeps like stalking him. Yes. Like he just bumps into the guy, and the guy won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
That's what I got from him. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the general setup that you need to know.
Okay.
It's good. All
right, I like that kind of stuff
there. It's a good movie. It's got a nice twist at the end. You're like, what? That whole thing.
What, like a Gone Girl? What? Like that?
Sort of. Gone Girl, it gets to the twist and it keeps going. This movie is all about building up to that moment.
And it's like, so you can only like watch it once then?
You would think so, actually. Yeah,
because those big twist movies, it can't
I think it's the type
yourself.
Of movie where, after you watch it once, like, I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
It's good, though. Number four.
Coming to number four this week, Fantastic Four. We can gross $8 million, total of 41.
On a budget of like 130, 140, something like
that. It's not going to make any money.
That was just the...
it's not that good.
Yeah.
It was pretty awful.
Yeah. But Michael B. Jordan's in, he's good. Miles Teller, the actors are good.
Yeah.
Is it bad? Was the movie bad because it was a bad movie, or is it because people aren't interested in the Fantastic Four?
I think two-thirds of the movie was good. And then the third act came.
I mean,
it all went to shit.
I would say like 50% of the movie is good. I like the first 50% and then the second 50%.
It's like they ran out of ink in the pen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, dude. It's like they cut out scenes.
Yeah, fight a little bit. Fly around a little bit. Flame on.
If you want to hear more about that, you should listen to our last episode.
Our last episode, we talk more about it in detail. Okay. And it falls apart. It totally. And actually, last week, the guest we had on, Nikki Wilson, she works over at Full Sail. Mm-hmm. She was part of the Fall Apart. She was there for Fantastic Four as a production assistant. And
she did. It's her fault.
It is all her fault. And she confessed to everything. So check out episode 135 with Nikki Wilson. And she had some nice behind the scenes stuff. What she felt that she could tell us anyway. We had to coax some things out of her. But,
okay.
But she told us some things about working on Fantastic Four as well as Jurassic World. Which is
I heard cool. Michael B. Jordan kept getting confused and saying lines from The Wire.
I know he kept saying he was throwing punches. Like
he was trying to sell crack in the middle of the movie.
He thought he was.
You don't want no crack? Flame on.
It would have made the movie a little more interesting.
Yeah, I got them hot rocks.
That would have been cool. Number four. All right, what's number three?
Number three this week, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. We can gross to $13.5 million, same as total.
I saw Man from U.N.C.L.E. New Guy Ritchie movie, his first movie since.
How can you be a man from Uncle?
Uncle.
UNCLE, period.
Oh, it stands for something.
Yeah. United Network. Clones. Law Enforcement.
Clone Law. Law Enforcement.
Something like that. No. Did you ever see, a TV show from the 60s? The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a spy TV show.
No, I don't know. No,
American no. spy and Russian spy team up to take on some nefarious.
Oh. Americans working with Russians?
People. Yes.
Get out of here.
Yeah. That was the whole hook.
The whole, yeah.
During the Cold War.
The Cold War hasn't stopped.
It's gotten weird.
It's just out in the open now. It's not. It's more out in the open.
It's kind of like how it is with China, where we're trading with them, and
but we're still doing our secret shit.
And things
shit
are kind of cool, but then we're also like hacking to each other's
we'll
governments.
Get you. We can get you.
Yeah. It's very. It's a global economy, man. It's a weird place.
Yep.
I saw Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's just a spy movie. It's got some comedy to it. You know, action. It's fun. It's entertaining. I wouldn't be like run out and go see it, but. If you're interested in that kind of movie, like a Mission Impossible kind of a movie,
okay,
it's worth seeing in a theater or at the very least Redbox or something like that for sure.
All right.
Yeah, Man from U.N.C.L.E. Drew.
Coming in at number two, Mission Impossible, Mission : Impossible - Rogue Nation.
Please say it correctly.
We can gross $17.3 million, total of $138 million. Budget unlisted.
Mission Impossible.
I want to see that.
Good.
Do you like the other ones?
I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm a fan of them. I think, what was the last one? Ghost Protocol?
Yes. The one where he's on the building.
I fell asleep on that one.
Did you?
But
wait, what?
Like literally you fell asleep?
I was tired when I started. And then I didn't really care how it ended. True. But I have generally been a fan of this franchise. Mm-hmm. But I noticed in the trailer, mm-hmm. this is the first time I looked at, what's his name?
Tom Cruise.
And I was like, he's getting a little long in the tooth.
He's getting there. He's 51, 52 years old.
Yeah, that smile thing doesn't work as much as it used to.
That's why typically between all these movies, there's been 4 to 6 years between Mission Impossible movies. Mm-hmm. They've announced that they are getting the next one started right away so they can release one more Mission Impossible movie in 2 years. So they just want to at least crank out one more with Tom Cruise before he figures something
like
else
he's
out.
He's going to end up going the Harrison Ford route and or looking too old for the role.
The Liam Neeson route? I mean, Liam Neeson's in his 60s.
It's different. He started older.
That's true.
He was already kind of older.
We were accustomed to the idea of an older action star.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Stallone's on a pretty decent transition into action films as an older man.
See, he can't do Rocky anymore, though. That's not believable.
No, but he is working on another Rambo.
He's not. Okay, you can do Rambo. You can be old, disgruntled
That's true, old
guy.
Disgruntled war guy.
But there's still plenty of those guys.
Yeah. He did Rocky Balboa like right at the last moment where he could. Where he was even a little older than George Foreman
I know we suspend belief because it's a movie.
Yeah.
But when it's a movie that's not of a supernatural nature and it's set in modern times.
Sure.
Then you have to kind of go with something that's a little more plausible.
Sure. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to just address the age in it. So maybe
you
the
can't
next...
really. I mean, there's no 50-year-old boxers that are still like. I mean, we'll come back.
It's
not gonna happen.
Yeah, that's true. So with this Mission Impossible movie, they don't really address Tom Cruise's age. Maybe with the next one, it will be like the plot will kind of hinge on your character is now you're an older dude. We gotta get you out of the field.
I'd rather have another Austin Powers movie. To be honest with you.
Man, that was one of those. When was the last one? 2001, 2002?
That's been a long time.
Yeah, he can get old.
Those are fun, man.
Yeah.
But those are also pre-Casino Royale, so it's making fun of all that James Bond
stuff. That's what I'm saying.
And then the James Bond movies themselves actually addressed all those tropes and broke everything down and built it all back up through Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall. Now it's like back to all the gadgets and M and Q and all that
not
stuff.
Not a fan of the current James
really?
Bond.
Really? I'm looking forward to the new one coming out.
Me too.
Yeah.
With him?
Yeah.
With Daniel Craig, yeah.
Oh, and then the new James Bond.
The new James Bond movie. Well, that's come out. Spectre.
I'm talking about
November.
The next James Bond.
Oh, whoever that's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, I already know who it's going to be.
Who do you think it's going to be?
The guy that played Martin Luther King.
David Oyelowo?
Oyelowo. He's the new one. He's won out over Idris Elba, and he's been contacted by the original writer of the James Bond series, and they said, we would like you to be the next James Bond.
Really?
Isn't he in Flaming Dead?
Way dead.
Well, whoever's writing the movies, though.
Well,
the Broccoli family has the rights. They've had the rights
forever,
since they started. It's one family has had the rights.
When you Google that, whoever is that guy,
they
contacted him.
Okay.
And they said they wanted him over Idris Elba.
Probably because of age, too, right? I think Oyelowo is a good 10 years younger than Elba.
Well, yeah. Idris Elba, I mean, built like a brick shit house.
He's also a giant man.
You know, Bond. I mean, Daniel Craig's been the most buff Bond we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So,
well, Connery was a big guy, but he was 60s buff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Idris has a certain suaveness that he could play. He could pull it off.
He does. You could put him in a suit, but I think Yellow does too.
Oh, Yellow does too. You put that motherfucker in a suit.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Denzel get a crack at it when he was a little younger.
A Denzel Bond directed by Quentin Tarantino. Because Tarantino wanted to direct the Bond movie for a while there.
That he might have took it just that to the left.
You would have gone. You want to go? It would have been Bond like movies, Man from Uncle.
The Bond movies have a certain cheese factor to them.
A lot that of are
and
just
and a certain class factor as well.
Both at the same time, yeah. Though. Like you're not going to get the most highbrow. You're going to get the stylings.
Yeah,
of,
sure.
The last one I saw was the one with Halle Berry in it.
Die Another Day.
Yeah, and you get kind of like, you're not going to get like, oh my God, the most memorable lines. It's not like too complex. It's not too much for you to put your teeth into. Mm-hmm. It's very watchable action spy type movie.
I think the last one, the Skyfall
one. I'm saying they're not that sophisticated.
Sure. Well, I think the Skyfall one, and from the looks of the trailers for Spectre, it looks like they've amped up the classier aspects of Bond, and they kind of dropped some of the goofy stuff.
Okay.
And they've been slowly bringing it back with the Daniel Craig movies. Like, the first Daniel Craig movie, they dropped all the goof.
Okay.
And then they've been bringing all those elements back in very slowly over these three or four
I watch James Bond movies to see cool shit and to see the guy in the tux fighting and looking cool and suave and outsmarting people.
Yeah. And they give you all that
that's
stuff.
That's what they give you. Yeah. And you see like the latest, whatever the badass car is.
Aston Martins and stuff.
Yeah. And then he's like, if you're into the guns, they got the really cool. I'm into all of that.
Yeah. And that's something that I think Mission Impossible movies do well, where they introduce cool gadgets.
Right.
Like things like, oh man, that doesn't exist. That's but I feel like it could happen one day soon.
That's Tom Cruise's.
That's his input.
That's
his James Bond.
That's his James Bond. Yeah. He's our James. Yeah.
He's the American James Bond. The Ethan Hunt thing for all sure. Right. It's a good movie. Mission Impossible. We did a spoiler bonus episode, Fred. You can check that out. And that was number two.
Mm-hmm.
So number one would be.
You know exactly what straight number one is.
Straight out of number one?
Straight out of number one. Straight out of Compton, man.
Said straight out of
number one. Had a week ago. This movie made $56 million this weekend, which is infinitely more than even, the next nine.
And I hear that's the biggest R-rated movie release for in August ever.
Oh, really? That would make sense. Sure, that makes sense. Because August, typically you don't even get $50 million opening weekends for most movies, let alone for a 2.5 hour R-rated film.
Man, it was that, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was.
It does not feel like 2.5 hours.
No, it flew by.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah.
You felt it?
I felt it. I felt it.
I felt like they jammed a lot of story.
They did.
There's a lot of stuff they left out, but you can only get so much into it.
Well, it is totally like... Ray Walk the Line, where you're getting an entire story from like pre-music to the end of a career, essentially.
Yeah,
and they give you the greatest hits, not just music-wise, but of a person's life.
Well, right.
This person
just,
died; these people get
and not
together.
Just a person's life. There were, for all intents and purposes, three people they were following.
Yeah,
there were three main characters
because it was Eazy-E, Ice Cube,
and Dre.
Because Ice Cube breaks off first, and then all that shit goes down between them, and then Dre has his whole thing. They could have made a story just about Ice Cube. They could have made a story
just about Eazy-E. Dre.
I saw an interview with the director F. Gary Gray, who did Set It Off,
The Negotiator.
Right.
His very first movie was what did he do right before Set Off? Something.
It was
running to my brain.
Menace. No, he didn't do Menace.
No, he did not do Menace. His first three movies I love, and then he had sort of not too hot of a run in the 2000s.
I think he's the only person that could have made this movie.
It's possible.
Right, because he's from South Central.
He knows the area.
He knows the area. He knows the people. He has a good relationship with...
John Singleton almost made this a couple years ago for a little while.
That movie was going to be from Jerry Heller's perspective, from what I heard. And that Jerry, when everybody else found out that Jerry Heller was going to do it based off the book that he had, that Ruthless biography or whatever, they were like, fuck that, we can do it. And then they pitched their idea to the studio and it overrode what Jerry Heller was trying to do.
Interesting.
But F. Gary Gray said that he read Jerry Heller's book. He didn't interview him or anything, but he said he read the book, he did his research, that the original cut of this movie was an hour longer. It was 3.5 hours.
Oh my God.
And that's going to be in the director's. He said the director's
DVD?
Cut, there's another hour worth of stuff that that he couldn't put in the movie.
I'm down. I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Because it does feel like it's an epic story. There's a lot going on, and it does feel like they had to skip over some stuff, or like there's more, even more detail that could have been in there that could have made it even a more full story. But even the way it is, I love the movie. I think it's great.
I wanted more Suge Knight.
Shug comes across as a caricature.
They had to make him, in the burst that they showed him, they had to make him over the top.
Yeah.
Just to show you how crazy this motherfucker really
the
is.
The whole time he's just like wide-eyed, staring at people like crazy.
You could tell, oh man, what's he going to do? When I saw him, I was like, oh shit.
As soon as he shows up, it's like, who's he punching first?
I liked how they threw Pac in there.
Yeah.
I think the worst casting in the movie, well, okay, I think the best casting in the movie, obviously, Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference at some point. Mm-hmm. I really couldn't tell the difference. No.
My favorite was
there were some points in time where I almost in my mind, like, I was looking at this guy's face and it almost looks like him but doesn't,
right?
And even still I glazed over that. I'm like, this is fucking Ice Cube.
You couldn't have gotten a better Ice Cube.
No,
even if Ice Cube would have done it.
I mean literally it's his kid. He's like, it's half him.
Okay, so just to let you know, I did some prep for this show. Okay. I knew we were gonna talk about this movie.
Nice.
O'Shea Jackson Jr., Ice Cube's son, was not handed that role. He auditioned 6 times.
Damn.
He had to lose 35 pounds.
Damn.
And he had acting coaches the entire time for about a year before they started.
It is
because they said
it is his first movie. Yeah.
They laughed at him when he went in and was trying to do his dad. And then he said he had to dig deep.
Wow.
He said it was a hard thing. But people were like, this guy can be an actor. Like, he is.
Now he can. Yeah, he's so,
totally.
He's so convincing in the movie and very watchable that, yeah, right. I'll totally see more. Any of the people. The guy who played Eazy-E.
Dre. I think the Eazy, taking the Cube thing out, because that was easy, because that's his son. He already looked like him.
Relatively easy. Apparently, he started to do some work.
He was too. Yeah, but he was a little taller than Ice Cube.
Yeah, physically, you got to kind of go with some of that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought the Eazy-E character nailed it.
That was my favorite casting.
The second he put on those glasses, I was like, this is fucking Eazy-E.
Oh, and voice in the recording studio? Yeah.
Also, the guy that played DJ Yella, Neil Brown Jr.
The local guy.
Friend of mine.
Yeah, local hero.
I have some inside information on that. He said that the first thing they did was they redid Straight Outta Compton album. They went in the studio.
They re-recorded themselves.
And they re-recorded it. And then they went and they practiced the concert tour, like they were going on tour. He had to learn how to scratch. He had to learn how to play the music. And he goes, we put on a concert.
That's awesome. Yeah. But they did. There is that shot. I think it's when they're in Detroit, the Detroit show. There's a shot where they show, like, the camera's on the stage and it pans around and it's like the end of a song and everyone's cheering and the camera pans around into the entire arena. You see the whole place is like
full,
like 20,000 people in there and all going crazy for him. And then it comes back around and you see everyone on the stage. It's like, oh shit, it looks like they really filled up a fucking arena.
Yeah, they did.
And they put on a show for that. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. And the music is obviously great.
Amazing.
That helps a lot.
I was supposed to see I couldn't see that first NWA tour because they canceled it. Detroit happened, but then that word started spreading and they started like being really like all these conditions for them to perform and they just said fuck it and they canceled the tour.
Yeah.
And it was like a really short, abrupted tour. And I was like, oh, that was my chance to see. And then I remember the Up in Smoke tour, which is the closest you can get to it, came to Tampa.
Because that was Dre and Cube.
Yeah. Dre, oh man.
And Snoop.
And Eminem. And Snoop. And
no, but I mean from NWA.
From it wasn't NWA, it was just Dre
and Dre and Cube.
Snoop, Ice Cube, Eminem, all of those
so
guys.
That's the closest you get to an NWA.
That was the closest
show.
I would have got to an NWA show.
Yeah,
but
I
remember so they had to learn all of that. Mm-hmm. What else do I know about it? I just think the Eazy-E character, I think they nailed it.
Yeah.
His family said that he nailed it.
I think that character is the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
Because
Eazy-E was the heart of the group, even though he didn't write his own shit and he wasn't the best rapper. He was the worst rapper out of all of them.
He was the driving force behind it, though.
He was the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow, it's just something about him, his personality, the way he galvanized everything, the way people rallied around him.
Plus, it also helps
that he's the one he had the money in the beginning.
But then
he could put up the studio time.
He did all of that, but he still was the breakout star of the group.
Yeah, because, and people gravitated to probably maybe because everyone could just sense that he was the real one. He was the most real of all of them.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, he was the one who was living that lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, Dre was making music and trying to get out. Cube was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get out. Everyone was just doing music, and Eazy-E was like, he was in it.
Right.
Like, I finally need a reason
to get
out of here.
And then DJ Yella and Ren were just along for the ride.
Yeah.
Because
they
affiliated.
Yeah,
they
exactly. He was like, here's my buddy, Red.
Yeah.
What's up?
And Ren was a really good rapper.
He was
It's like he didn't have a personality or a story.
He's like, almost like a George Harrison of the group. You know, everyone loves Ringo and Paul and George. Always talking about those three guys. No one ever talks about George. He has his fans.
Right.
But he's not on the same level as a Lennon or a McCartney.
Well, yeah, no. Here's the debate I had with a couple of people. They didn't really show this in the movie, but if you look at any reputable magazines, I don't know what you consider reputable as far as music magazines.
Okay.
And when they rank the top hip-hop albums of all time, Straight Outta Compton is not considered their best album with Ice Cube. Their best album is Niggas for Life, the one without Ice Cube. That album was ridiculous.
And they barely even touched on that.
They didn't even touch on that. When you listen to that album, it has modern day production. Straight Outta Compton sounded a little
still sounds a little 80s.
A little basic. They made that album in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So, but they were like, well, what are we going to do without Ice Cube? And they pulled that shit off. Not only did they just pull it off, you didn't even miss Ice Cube on that record.
Yeah.
But then Ice Cube was doing his thing at the same time.
Which was even bigger.
Which was even bigger, yeah. But that album is considered one of the top hip-hop albums of all times. I still like that album.
Well, yeah. I mean, the music is amazing.
Yeah.
And then again, like referencing Ray and Walk the Line, it's like they touch on, they do the thing where...
You don't include Notorious in that, do you?
I actually never saw Notorious.
Ooh, don't see.
Nah, it wasn't well reviewed.
I mean, it's still, if you look at hip hop biopics, it counts as a biopic.
Oh, for yeah, it is.
When
it,
I saw that, I was just like, man, that's not Biggie.
I like how they do the thing where like Dre is at the synthesizer, and he's got a beat going, and he's trying to work out a melody line. Yeah, and then he nails it.
Nails it at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he comes in, Snoop's like, all right, I'm just going to start rhyming right over it.
You know, that's exactly it. That was
there
like,
it is.
That was like an episode of Empire.
Yeah.
How that happened.
That's the ridiculous way it just came out. Who do you think was the worst casting?
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought
it was a little distracting.
Yeah, this is like, hey, we need some skinny dude.
He's like, he wasn't tall enough.
He wasn't Snoop enough.
The voice was okay, but I feel like of all the rappers out there, Snoop has the most imitable voice. Yeah, he really. He doesn't look that much different.
I like the Pac, too.
The Pac was... I'm surprised that's not adding fuel to the Pac is Still Alive fire, because I mean that guy was a pretty damn good Pac.
He did a good Pac. I think he captured, he looked like him, and he kept from a distance through the glass.
The swagger.
And he captured the essence of what I think Pac was like.
I wonder if that extra hour will have more Pac and more of that stuff and the Death Row stuff.
I needed Suge to be bigger. The only thing Suge had was crazy eyes. Suge don't have crazy eyes like that.
But he's a character in the movie.
But
he's
they had to add him as crazy eyed. Because they needed to show you how crazy this dude was.
Needed to get across that this dude was the bad guy.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough to have that scene where you have that guy in his underwear and they have the dog on him.
Man, I heard he used to sick that dog on people on the red.
That's horrible.
And then they had a Death Row logo. He had red carpet with a white Death Row logo on the carpet. And if you stepped on that logo, man, he would beat the shit out you.
Insane.
I didn't understand what fueling his craziness.
Maybe he is mentally ill.
Probably.
Maybe he's bipolar.
That too.
Whoever they had playing him should have been bigger.
Maybe they couldn't find anyone bigger who was a better actor than that guy.
Yeah, that's probably had a lot to
you
do
gotta,
with
you it. You got to do that give and take, you know? Like, they eventually figure out O'Shea Jackson. He lost enough weight. Like, he still doesn't look like his dad exactly. But if he can act like him enough, then people can see past that he's maybe, you know, not the right height.
I think he looked more like his dad as the movie went on.
Yeah, when he shaved his head, when he cut his hair.
Yeah, I think he, I mean, by the time he was doing the interview with the lady by the pool, or the dude by the pool, he was full on was Ice Cube at that point. Yeah.
He's like, what's your name? What's your name, Brian? Go fuck yourself, Brian. Get the fuck out of my house.
Get the fuck out of my house.
I really liked it. Obviously, you really liked it.
Oh, I loved it, except for the one part.
The one part.
At the end.
Oh, yeah.
Nah,
spoiler alert.
I think they alluded to it a little too much.
Of course, that's all with all the coughing.
Because
he knew it was coming.
The way I heard the story, Eazy-E had a cough that he could not shake.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he went to the hospital
and
he died 2 weeks later. He had full-blown AIDS when he went to the hospital to get checked. They didn't say it like that. They said, you have the HIV virus. He had full-blown AIDS.
I did notice that.
And then he went into a coma and dropped dead, like that.
I did notice that the doctor told me you're HIV positive.
Not like, full-blown AIDS.
Yeah, why would you tell me he has AIDS? And then, they don't really go over the time.
No, so you can't really, it just goes quick.
You can't really tell if it's supposed to be a couple of days or a few months, because the doctor was like, we can make this last for 6 months.
He was already
And then
gone.
By the time Dre shows up, he's like, he's in a coma, bro. Yeah. He tells Cube he's in a coma.
I remember that. What I pulled away from the movie that I did not know, and I had that confirmed watching an interview, that they were talking about reuniting.
At the end.
Yeah, I thought that was for the movie.
Yeah.
But they were talking about reuniting.
Well, I figure if it's in the movie, because it is co-produced by, they're all involved in it.
Yeah.
And it was co-produced by Eazy-E's wife, Tamika.
But I wonder what was like, that movie didn't seem like it needed much Hollywood, to be Hollywooded up.
No, because it's already such a sensational story.
Yeah,
The only thing it needs to Hollywoodize would be the look of the movie. Like at the Detroit concert, when they run outside and the police are coming in on them.
That's kind of stupid. They ran right to the police.
Ran right into the police, and then they're right by a bridge where some guy immediately starts dumping flaming trash on the ground. Yeah. So that's slow motion flaming trash everywhere. It's like, this is so Hollywood, but I liked it though, because it's very stylish and it's getting across the point of what's going on.
I'll tell you what I think was totally realistic. That scene in the hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the party scene?
That scene in all of those parties. Because there's video of those parties, the pool parties and all of that.
Yeah.
That shit seemed, maybe there was like, maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 too many people there.
Maybe.
I mean, you couldn't even move, man.
At those pool parties, they actually kind of looked a little nightmarish to me. Yeah, like, how can people get around
in there? They didn't talk about how they had pool parties like that. And then Dre and Suge used to have pool parties like that because they were both on house arrest.
Oh,
that's why they had the pool parties at Suge's house, because they were on house arrest.
That's funny.
They also glanced over how Dre used to just beat women down. He was a domestic, I mean, he had a couple of domestic violence charges.
That is true.
He beat Dee Barnes up on after a TV show they did, because he asked a question he didn't like.
Mm-hmm. The only people he punches in the movie are dudes.
They allude to it.
Yeah.
They allude to it, but then
it's kind of like the James Brown movie.
Right.
They really don't really get
They don't get into his questionable parenting.
Oh, they gave you
marital.
They gave you a watered down James
Everything else, the career stuff and the music stuff was all on point, but the personal life
that
stuff
wasn't
was
him. They
was
made him look good.
Under the rug.
They made him look better.
He would have looked more like Ike.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We're not making What's Love Got to Do with It. We're making a James Brown movie.
Right.
You know. So I mean, obviously I expect stuff like that to happen. Even with Walk the Line, they show Johnny Cash as a drug addict and all that stuff. They're still whitewashing the extent of the hole that he went down. You know, Ray, the way he treated women wasn't
that
great.
Good either.
But they showed him, man. They showed Ray treating women pretty bad. He had that heroin. But homeboy cooked fried chicken. He was blind.
Yeah.
How do you know? How I fuck up fried chicken now?
It's all about timing.
Yeah.
Timing. You hear the crackle of the oil.
Yeah, right.
No, that oil's too hot.
Yeah, right. Man, I bet he had some fucked up chicken before he got it down.
It took a while.
Yeah.
It took a while. Trial and error. He took a bite, held up to someone. Is that red? Like, Ray, don't eat no more of that chicken. But it tastes okay. We would all say go see Straight Outta Compton in the theater, right?
Yes.
Hell yeah. It took me back to high school.
Spend the time and the money to go do it.
Good stuff.
Even if you're not into hip-hop, I think it's worth seeing, because it also gets into all the societal issues that are still relevant today.
Yeah.
Just see the first 30 minutes of a conversation.
That is crazy how that timed out.
Still,
you could not write better. Like, the whole Black Lives Matter movement is the biggest advertisement for this movie
right now,
at the same time.
Yeah, the shit is still happening.
Yeah, you're like, I walked out of the movie, and then I asked my girl, I was like, so what'd you think? She was like, well, it looks like there's a history of white guys ripping off black guys. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's one thing.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
there's a lot of things like that in
the
movie.
Last 200-300 years, something like that.
At the least.
It's weird how Eazy-E was just as much of a crook as Jerry Heller was.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they got along so well.
And then what they really glossed over is when he made the deal, when Dre left Eazy-E and went to Death Row Records with Suge, that contract didn't just go away.
Well, they had that one scene where they met with Iovine.
And he said, I'll take care of it. And what he did was he paid Eazy-E.
Which I figured is what would happen, but they didn't talk about it.
They didn't talk
about
it because Eazy-E made a shitload of money off of Death Row Records.
Of course.
Through the contracts. And I know that because I.
Because you knew the history.
I read some tweets by Eazy-E's daughter.
Okay.
And she was saying, hey, the movie was great, but here's some things they left out.
Okay.
He goes, he never got beat up by Suge Knight when he went in the studio.
I thought that was not like a legendary thing that happened.
He didn't beat him up. He said Suge Knight pulled a gun out on him.
That's still just not as good.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
I mean, that's more Suge style.
Yeah, well, the threatening style. Well, that's the whole thing with Vanilla Ice. They the story was he got hung over by his ankles over the balcony.
I think that happened.
But then if you ask Vanilla Ice about it, he's like, nah, he just had a conversation, man.
Well, yeah, because Vanilla Ice doesn't want to relive it. I'm sure he still has nightmares about that shit when he goes to bed.
Nah, I'm sure now Vanilla Ice, he's sleeping peacefully because Suge Knight's in jail.
He did sign it over.
Yeah.
So, regardless. There you go.
Yeah. He knew what was best for him at that time. What did he got on the Rotten Tomatoes? What are people saying about Australia? It's got to be well-reviewed.
Actually, internet's down. Sorry.
Goddamn Bright House. Go fuck yourselves. New movie is coming out on DVD. The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared.
That's the whole title?
That's the whole title. It's based on a book, and they're like, you know what? Should we shorten the title of this for the movie? Nah.
Let it ride.
I saw it at the Florida Film Festival. It's a foreign film. I think it's Swedish or German. Or is it English? No, it's German. It's about a guy who is an older dude. He's in a rest home, and he sneaks out to like just go enjoy his life for, you know, one last time. And the whole thing's kind of a Forrest Gump thing.
Oh, okay.
Where it goes over his whole life from his youth.
It's like an old guy going out to have some fun one more time.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, he's meeting people, and then he tells them, oh, I did this during World War II.
And then they go back and show his story.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
It shows like how he accidentally helped the Manhattan Project people like create the atom bomb.
Oh, so it's like another Forrest Gump with an old dude.
Yeah.
Is it in German?
It's whatever. Yeah, it is. Actually, it is... a co-production of a bunch of companies, so it's in English and German and a whole bunch of different.
Why do we call Germany Germany? Don't they call it Deutschland? That's what they call it.
That's a German name for Deutschland.
But why do we call it Germany?
I don't know. Germania, because it's Germanic. Teutonic. Used to call that area Teutonic.
Yeah.
Teutonic.
Yeah, something like that, right?
It used to be called Prussia.
Used to be called Prussia.
Prussia.
Why do they keep changing? Names keep changing. One day, United States of America is going to be called, it's going to be the Broken States of America.
The Austro-Hungarian Empire, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Something like that. Yep. So that's all that's coming out on DVD. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Coming out in theaters, Sinister 2.
Sinister 2.
Don't really care.
You know what they say about that? You know the bad guy named Sinister? His name is Bagul.
Bagul?
Bagul. So you know,
Bagul.
You know what they say.
What?
Bagul me once, shame on me. But Bagul me twice.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
And Bagul me three times. Shit.
Jeb Bush, 2016. Sinister 2. Yeah, I'm not going to see it. Well, it's coming out. Maybe Billy Dee will go see it.
Hitman, Agent 47.
Another movie based on a video game, because those always work out so well.
They haven't really gotten one right yet, have they?
No.
But I like the video game Hitman. That one sets itself up to be a good movie.
You would think so.
Just based on the video game.
It's just an action movie.
It's a stealth.
Yeah, it's stealth. It's a guy who's a super-powered agent of some sort.
I really enjoyed playing that game.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Well, it's like, you know, the Max Payne games were fun.
Yeah. Oh, the movie.
It's hard to do a video game as a movie, man.
Which is surprising. You'd think it would be a simple thing to do because it's just bare bones story stuff that you got to put together with a good story, and instead.
Yeah, like it, Pixels.
They just screwed up.
Oh, Pixels.
Never saw that, thank God.
God. When you're like fighting Pac Man? Come on.
Yeah, giant Pac Man.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
Alien Pac Man.
That's stupid.
What else is coming out?
A movie I actually kind of want to see, American Ultra.
Have you seen the trailers for this one, Kevin?
No, I have not.
Jesse Eisenberg is a stoner.
Yes, I have.
Who works in a convenience store.
With Emma Watson?
Kristen Stewart.
I get them mixed up. Yeah. Hermione.
No.
Twilight. Damn, yeah. I get them mixed up, man.
And
she's the one that looks sad all the time.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. He gets activated, and apparently he's a super spy.
It's Cheech and Chong's The Bourne Ultimatum.
Exactly.
That actually, I saw that movie trailer. I don't know how or where, but I was like, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks fun.
Yeah. But it's not like Eisenberg.
He throws a pan up in the air and he shoots it in slow motion.
Yeah. The old shoot the pan trick.
Yeah, I saw that. And he doesn't know how he does it.
Yeah.
It looks like a good time. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go to the theater and see it.
I'm going to have to.
Oh, yeah, we're going to
have to. We don't really have a choice in the matter.
It's either that or it's Hitman, Agent 47. Yeah. So
I'll be seeing that one anyway.
Kevin, we've added a new segment to the show that we do right before the break.
All right.
It's my favorite segment of every show.
Okay.
And it's called...
Show Me Your Wiener.
Drewster Cogburn is Horribly Unprepared.
It's the same thing. It's called Drewster Cogburn is Horribly Unprepared, a.k.a. Show Me Your Wiener, a.k.a. Dr. Drew's 2 cents. I got an intro, too. Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex
Doc Hollywood.
All right, the doctor is in. After that very long intro, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
I'm hoping that my segment's going to be shorter than my intro.
All right, let's see. Go for it.
So this week, or last week, I guess, Mad Max came out on digital versions.
Yes.
Streaming services and whatnot.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Watch it. The doctor's out.
Oh, that's the wrong button. Just give me one of these. There, applause.
Watch Mad Max.
Doctor's out. Watch Mad Max.
All right,
Drew, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let's take a break, guys. Quick break. I got one song here for the Cruspa Disco. There's that Ryan Gosling movie, Only God Forgives. Weird fucking movie, Kevin.
I still don't know if it's any good.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, man. You know, I only...
But I'd watch it, though.
I'm still not sure if it's any good.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it.
I only go see movies with guys with Jerry curls.
Fair enough.
Well, watch Straight Outta Compton again.
No Jerry curls in Only God Forgives. No, there's none. So this song is called Wanna Fight. It's a Cliff Martinez soundtrack. It's good stuff. Enjoy the song. We'll be back with the second half of the show. A whole bunch of stuff to talk about. So here we go.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, here we go. Second half of episode 136. We did not restart that at all. This is going perfectly. I'm hanging out with Drew Cochran. Drew, how's it going?
What up?
And SBK Kevin.
Hey.
All right. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419 all over the interwebs.
Awesome, awesome. Kevin?
Follow me on Twitter at the Soul Brother and check me out at sbklive.fm.
Yes, please do all that. And we already mentioned it before, kidneyforkevin.com.
Kidneyforkevin.com.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Hit up the show at Crespo D. So the Doug Loves Movies ticket giveaway. We teased this at the beginning of the show. If you want in, all you have to do to try to get these tickets, if you want in on the raffle, email the show, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. In the subject line, you need to put the keyword. Kevin, this week's keyword is?
What is it?
What is it is the keyword. So send me an email.
Oh, no, you were asking me what the keyword is.
Yeah, that's the keyword now.
What is it?
Compton.
What is it, Compton? That's the keyword.
What is it, Compton?
So send an email, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Subject line, what is it, Compton? And you will be entered into the drawing. And then next week, episode 137, we will announce, right at the top of the show, we'll pull two names out of a randomizer 9000 type of device and mail you some free tickets.
Free tickets, man. Can't beat that.
Free tickets. And if you don't win the tickets, then you can always get your own tickets. They're $20 each. Rhino Improv, Wednesday, September 9th, 8 p.m. Come support me.
Hey, Chris, guess what?
What?
Jurassic World just turned into the third highest ranking movie for money all time.
God damn. 1.6 billion?
Correct.
Man.
So just past Furious 7.
And Marvel's The Avengers.
So
Furious 7's at 1.55 billion. The Avengers is at 1.519.
Oh, wow. That's really close.
Yeah.
That's very close. So number one all time Avatar.
Correct.
Number two all time Titanic.
So James Cameron still holds number one and two.
Number three all-time, Jurassic World.
Yes.
God damn.
That is crazy.
That is crazy. Who would have thunk it? I'd never. Not in a million years would I have thought that. And so then that means number four is The Avengers. And number five is Furious 7?
Oh, four, yep. And then six, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow. God damn, god damn. Congratulations, guys, for making all that money. Good on all of you. Let's start out with... I want to mention real quick... I saw at the Enzian last week a movie called The Wolf Pack. Kevin, you got to check out this documentary.
The Wolf Pack.
I want to watch this fucking movie, but I can't.
It's a good.
I'm fucking poor.
This poor guy's fucking poor. Kevin, this movie is about there's these six brothers.
Right.
Okay. They live in a housing, public housing in New York City, Lower East Side, mm-hmm. right in Manhattan. And for their entire life, they were not allowed to leave the apartment.
I'm familiar with this.
The parents, the dad really kept the whole family locked inside their four-bedroom apartment.
Yes.
And but he let them watch tons of movies.
Right.
So everything they learn about the world is through movies, and then they reenact movies and stuff. And then eventually they got out of the apartment, they met someone, and she made a documentary about them.
I saw a story on them on either it was CBS Sunday Morning or 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
And they dress like the Reservoir Dogs.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Constantly. Yeah. They're wearing suits and the glasses, and they walk around as a group. They were doing that, just walking around one day all together.
And that's how she noticed them. Yeah. I thought I'm familiar.
Yeah, it's a really, really good documentary. Very, very well made. There's a bunch of scenes in there where they're remaking scenes from Reservoir Dogs. This dude constructed a whole out of cardboard,
mm-hmm.
a whole Batman suit. And they recreate the Dark Knight and the Dark Knight Rises. And the way he talks about Christian Bale and Batman, he's like, I'm the dude that plays that guy. You know? Like, they take it very seriously.
Yeah.
And then also when they show them reenacting everything, like when they do Reservoir Dogs, and the one guy is playing the Tim Roth character, Mr. Orange, who gets shot. And he's like, I'm fucking scared. And he's talking to Harvey Keitel. The kid's good. Like, he's nailing all the nuances of the performance. They show a scene where Batman's fighting Bane, and Bane's beating him up, and he's, like, really into it and doing a really good job. It's really funny.
Man, I bet those kids are weird.
They are.
They will be weird forever.
They will be. And also, the movie gets into, like, they recognize that their living situation is not normal, and that they've been deprived of,
societal skills that they have to learn at an older age. And the movie gets into that. And one of them, like, he hates his dad now. And he's like, I can't even look at the guy. I can't talk to him.
It's, the expose that I saw on this, they were at, they took him out. They were out of the house.
Yeah.
And they had a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who made the documentary or whatever, uh-huh. she brought in Robert De Niro to meet him.
That would have blown their minds.
And it did blow their minds.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. I would love to see. I got to look for that online.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. Dwarf Pack. I'm sure it's going to be on DVD pretty soon. So definitely worth checking out. Every week, we get a missive from our New York City senior show correspondent, Billy D, for his segment, Death of the Movies. And we start out all those segments with a little intro song like this. Billy D hits us up every week. Here we go. Drew, what you got?
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
It was a beautiful week up here in NYC. The sun was shining, the weather only moderately hellish, and the smell of pee and decomposing rats hung thick in the subways. You know, NYC in August.
Yeah.
It's been a summer of learning for me. Lots of documentaries being watched at Fort Awesome. Just this week, we had an encore of Video Nasties for the Girlfriend, as well as Z-Channel, A Magnificent Obsession. Both are great movies about movies, but a recent movie that was... Wait. But a recent movie was what killed us both. Billy D's Death of the Movies is terrified to present The Nightmare.
The Nightmare. I've heard of this documentary. All right, go ahead.
I liked Room 237. I love The Shining. A little more than most, maybe. And I liked hearing all those batshit theories. Some were totally off point, but it was entertaining and extremely well made.
Mm-hmm.
Rodney Asher has a new movie out, a documentary about sleep paralysis, and it's probably the scariest movie I've seen in a long time.
Hmm.
The Nightmare would be effective on its own as we watch extensive interviews with 8 people who are currently suffering from sleep paralysis,
mm-hmm.
have in the past, or are about to from watching this movie. Asher goes the extra mile, though, and made terrifying reenactments of sleep paralysis episodes, you know, for science. I feel bad recommending this movie because it's so pants-shittingly scary, but it's really good, I swear.
Huh.
It's available on demand at iTunes, Google, Amazon, etc. It's worth the $4, but will likely hit the instant watch streams soon. Stay cool, Billy D.
Thanks, Billy. The Nightmare. I've heard of this movie.
Yeah.
It's been playing at festivals this year.
Apparently, sleep paralysis is like the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you hallucinate and all sorts of fun stuff.
Well, I remember when I was younger, 12, 13 years old.
You were abducted by aliens?
I wish. A cousin of mine
was abducted by aliens.
Told me we were like just driving somewhere and he was like, oh man, I woke up this morning and like I woke up but I couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was horrifying, and he tried to call out to like his brothers or his family, and he couldn't. And he said it felt like a hand was on his mouth and was keeping his mouth shut.
I've had this happen before.
Have you had it happen?
Yeah.
Now, for him, because of his religious upbringing, he immediately identified it with being attacked by a demon.
Yeah,
and he was like, and he was thinking
the demon had his hand over his mouth.
The demon had his hand on his mouth, and he had to scream to himself in his mind like, in the name of the Lord,
uh-huh.
you know, set me free or something.
Yeah.
And finally he snapped out of it.
The power of Christ compels you.
Yes, totally. And he was convinced that that is what happened.
Holy water.
That he was being attacked by the devil and calling out to the Lord Savior.
Beelzebub.
And that's how religion started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Yes.
Now we know sleep paralysis is what happens when you wake up, but the chemical that's in your body that your body releases to keep you from sleepwalking is still in your body. It hasn't dissipated yet.
Oh.
The opposite of that is sleepwalking, mm-hmm. when you fall asleep, but that chemical is not in your body.
So you get up and do stuff.
You start acting out your dreams.
I used to do things like that. My mom found me out in the middle of the road one night.
Oh, scary.
Yeah.
What happened? Bath salts?
No, it was sleepwalking.
Sleepwalking.
I was like 8 years old out in the middle of the road just walking.
The devil made you do that.
On the interstate, karate fighting cars.
Yes.
See, that's the devil. It's bringing an exorcist to get the demon out of this kid because he's going out in his sleep pretending to do things.
Yes.
Both things happen. I want to see this Nightmare movie because apparently, that like Billy mentioned, there are scenes where they kind of recreate I guess not what really happens, but what they perceive as happening as they get the sleep paralysis. So you said it happened too. You woke up. Has it only happened once? Has it happened a couple times?
Yeah, it might have happened more than once, but I just remember a time in particular where I had two roommates and I was asleep in the room and I heard them come home.
Yeah.
And I heard them in the living room.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get up and go out and talk to them, but I could not. I was trapped. I was paralyzed. I couldn't wake up and I couldn't fall asleep, but I could clearly hear them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yo, and I it wasn't going anywhere.
Did it freak you out?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I didn't know what was happening.
And but you also didn't like think a devil was.
No, I didn't know. I didn't think a devil.
You didn't go over the top with it.
Well, I mean, if you call the devil maybe some Colt 45 or some old E or something.
Actually,
that might have something to do
with
it.
That is precisely what I call the devil.
That is the devil.
It's the most devilish. It's an Anaconda malt liquor.
Ooh.
It gives you a ooh. I want to see that. I want to see the documentary. You said it'll be on Netflix soon?
He said probably.
See, it would have freaked me out, man, if it happened to me. Up until I only found out about sleep paralysis recently, you know, like in a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
So if it happened to me before that, I would be like, what's wrong with what's happening to my body? I'm dying.
It's crazy. The devil.
The devil's trying to kill me. The devil's real.
Oh, he is trying to kill you.
And the Lord saved me by allowing me to get up out of bed.
Yes.
So I can go mow the lawn.
Damn.
Thanks, Jesus.
I think he would have knocked that lawn out for you.
Come on. It's hot outside. Oh, here we go. Juice to God.
Are you ready, Kevin?
I am representing the world.
You are representing
I am ready.
You better be ready.
I hope you're ready.
I'm ready.
Those Drew Chicago this year so far is 9-2.
Damn.
He's killing it. This game is called 80s or 90s. All right, I think it's a pretty simple setup. I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me if it came out in the 80s or in the 90s.
All right.
All right. I got two groups of five here. Drew, you won last time, so you got to go first. A or B?
I'm going to go with A.
Drew's going with A. You ready? Number one, does it come out in the 80s or the 90s? Ghost.
80s.
Ooh.
1990. Oh!
Number two.
I was thinking 89.
89. Number two, here we go. Batman.
80s.
That's correct. Came out in 89. Number three, Kindergarten Cop.
90s.
That's correct. Came out in 1990. Number four, Universal Soldier.
80s.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Came out in 1992. And finally, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
80s.
1989. Ooh. You got 3 out of 5. That's here we go,
near,
Kevin.
That's damn near the 90s.
Almost.
Okay.
Very close.
All right, I'm ready.
Number one, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
The Last Crusade?
Mm-hmm.
90s.
1989.
Damn it. That's
the damn near. Yeah. That's the story of all. These are all exactly. Between 88 and 93.
Yeah, like, what's the real difference?
Idiot.
Here?
All right. Yeah. Number two.
Yeah.
Pump up the volume.
Pump up the volume. 80s.
1990.
Damn it, I'm already lost.
Nope.
Number three.
You can still die.
Okay, now I'll lose it right now.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Man, you know I hate those movies. So I'm going to say 90s.
1989.
Oh, there we go. I win.
I think. What does it mean? 1990, 89, or whatever.
Yeah. Is it 89, 90, or 91? Which one is it?
Number four, Edward Scissorhands.
90s.
1990, that's correct.
Yeah.
And number five, Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
Man, I love that movie. But I'm trying to think, where was I?
Where were you when the citizens were on patrol?
80s.
1987, that is correct.
Okay.
So you got 2 out of 5. Drew wins once again.
Oh, man, you're beating the whole damn world.
Good job.
You're doing great.
That was rough, man.
I'm not really.
That was rough.
But it's you and I, the whole world. That's a lot of pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
I'm trying to defeat the entire world. What kind of pressure do you think that puts on me?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But then when you lose, you let the whole world down. I let the whole world down. You just let yourself down.
That is a lot of pressure.
I do that on like a daily basis. So
I'm just saying all the pressure's on you guys. I'm just here having a good time trying to come up with fun games.
All right.
All right. You know what? How about let's do that segment of the people. Time for some Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
You can hit us up every week on Twitter at Crespediso, on Facebook Cinema Crespediso, email cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we will read your shit on the show. This is the show of the people. I'm the film critic of the people. Juicy Cockburn is the juicer of the people. Kevin's the Kevin of the people.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here for you. Drew, What do you got over there?
On Facebook.
On Facebook. Hit us up on Facebook.
Ricardo Perez hits us up.
What's up, Ricardo?
Likelihood of a remake of Daylight. And did Rocky's kid just hit on a 14-year-old girl?
The Rocky's kid just hit on a 14-year-old girl?
I don't know. Did he?
Maybe he was watching Daylight and something happened in Daylight. And he asked us a question about it as if we were watching it with him.
Perhaps.
We're not watching a movie with you, bro.
No idea.
I don't know what you... Remember that movie Daylight, Kevin?
Well, who was in it? What was in it? How was in it?
Sylvester Stallone.
No.
Okay. It's 90s, mid-90s. Sylvester Stallone, he's like, I don't know, a firefighter on his way home from work or some shit, right?
Right.
And they get to one of the tunnels that leads out of Manhattan, like the Holland Tunnel or some shit.
Okay.
And there's a collapse inside the tunnel.
I heard of that. I didn't see it.
And Stallone gets in there. His character, not Stallone himself. Yeah. Gets in there and tries to save people. The black guy dies first, you know.
All I know about Stallone is Rocky, Rambo, and Copland.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I mean, you don't even need to know about Copland.
I thought he was great in Copland.
He is great in Copland. I wish Copland...
He was all fat.
I just wish Copland was a better
movie. Yeah, I wish Copland was a better movie because it has a great cast, a pretty good premise. It's done pretty well. Mm. But I feel like there's something keeping... every time I watch, I'm like, why isn't this better? There should be something...
I thought it was really good at the time. Maybe if I watch it again,
maybe
it may not hold up.
Maybe. It's...
I didn't think I don't not like time.
It. Okay.
I don't not like it, but I definitely wish it was a better movie.
Okay.
You know, for sure. And Stallone is, he went for it. You know, he put on that weight and he did the whole I'm a deaf idiot thing.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
I don't know. Daylight, they can remake Daylight. It's pretty simple. A tunnel collapses. You got to save the people.
Redo it with The Rock.
Redo all Stallone's movies with The Rock.
He could do it.
Yeah. He's great.
He could be Rambo.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not the old Rocky Balboa thing.
He could do it with, but with wrestling instead.
Yeah, professional wrestling.
It'll be like The Wrestler, but less Aronofsky-ish.
And maybe in a world where wrestling is real, like no holds barred, where wrestling is real for some reason. No more Hogan. No more Hogan around. These parts.
Yeah, Hogan's done.
He is done. That breaks my heart, man.
Yeah.
Real American hero. Sure. Sure, Hogan. Remake it. Sure. Okay. What else we got?
Paul Hine gets at us.
What's up, Paul?
Hot Pursuit.
Hot Pursuit. Oh, review of Hot Pursuit?
Of sorts.
Okay.
I got stuck watching this at home with my wife. I wouldn't recommend this shit movie to a blind man because even he'd have to listen to Reese Witherspoon's horrible southern accent and Sofia Vergara's over-exaggerated Colombian-infused English for 90 minutes.
Ooh. I'll take that.
Avoid this failed attempt at a female comedy team-up.
Avoid.
That
you know, the reviews weren't good for it.
No.
They weren't. And actually, that was a movie I wanted to see, too, on premise alone. It's like, that could be a fun mismatch buddy comedy type thing.
Eh.
But no one liked it, though.
Nah.
Yeah. I like Reese Witherspoon. She's all right.
I liked her in... What was she in that I like?
Election. No. You liked her in Highway.
I liked her in Highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Was it Highway or Freeway?
No, it was Freeway.
Freeway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Highway is something good, totally different. Yeah, she was good in... It's crazy in that movie. She's always good. She's really good in that movie Wild that came out like a year or so ago. Definitely check that one out. What else we got over there on the Vox Populi?
Well, it says on Facebook it's Mr. Nadathon, but that's not his name on Facebook.
But that's obviously how he signed it. That's how he signed it.
Though. All right.
Yeah. Nate. Nate's a good guy.
We got a mini review of Stretch. Whatever this is.
Stretch. It's a movie with dude from Watchmen, Patrick Wilson. The guy who plays Night Owl.
If anyone is a fan of Carnahan's Smoking Aces, they will feel right at home in this crazy world of Stretch. Such a great movie with fun zany cameos. Best of all, is the scene-stealing performance by Chris Pine that rivals his Smokin' Aces role. That is all.
Chris Pine, huh? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Well, Chris Pine.
He's that Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
No, yeah. They signed on for more Star Trek movies.
Did he?
Yeah.
He's a good Kirk.
For at least the fourth one. Him and the guy who plays Spock.
I hope they signed up. Oh, I like him too. I hope that J.J. Abrams signed up again.
No, just as a producer.
They
now.
Keep moving it.
Yeah, because now he's doing Star Wars stuff.
Yeah,
which is what he wants
to do both. Though.
Which is why
he got to do both.
Yeah, which is why he got off the Star Trek now. So it's now being.
Yeah, but he's already done one. I'll give it up too to go do this. Jump
oh, sure.
To Star
yeah, yeah,
Wars.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But now the new Star Trek, the third one, which is being called Star Trek Beyond, is being directed by the guy who did the last Fast and Furious movie, Furious 7. And before that, his most popular movies were Saw, The Conjuring, Insidious, all those horror films.
Oh, so it's going to be darker.
I don't know. He's stretching. He's trying to do something different now.
That's
going to
be weird.
It is going to be weird. I'm I'm looking forward to it just to see how weird it is. I hope it's weird. I hope he doesn't try to go straight Star Trek and, yeah, it's like some long,
some
crazy
weird space horror movie,
yeah,
instead.
Like Space Jigsaw shows up and tries to give him like
that, a, I love that.
Yeah, like what? All of a sudden we're making Jason X here. Right? Yeah. Give me something ridiculous.
Jason X meets Event Horizon.
Meets Leprechauns in Space. Meets Machete Kills Again in Space, because that's happening,
yes,
too. That's coming.
Yeah.
Stretch. Yeah, I've been wanting to watch it, actually. It's on the Netflix Instant.
All right.
Joe Carnahan's a guy. My favorite movie of his is Narc. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah. No, but I saw A Hobo with a Shotgun.
That's a good one, too.
That's what?
Rutger Hauer.
Oh, my God.
That's an insane movie.
Oh. It's so much fun.
Kevin hates
it's,
Hobo
it's
with a
so
Shotgun.
It's so weird.
And he always brings it up because in my official capacity as Film Critic Associated with SBK, the SBK Live show, maybe the very first movie I recommended to the show is Hobo with a Shotgun.
It's a great movie.
Kevin fucking hated that movie so much.
Man. And then I didn't get it.
And then it doesn't not bring it up ever again. It's been like 6 years now, dude. 5 years.
I still hate that movie just as much.
And it's just a timing thing because I had just seen that in the theaters like a week or two before I called into your show for like the first or second time. And I was like, oh, Hobo Shotgun, I just saw this. It's good. He's like, all right, I'll check it out. Oh, man. Cracks me up.
That was your test.
And it was a failed test.
Oh, man, that was horrible.
It took me a long time of rebuilding trust again after that,
yeah,
right from the start. Do you remember the first time I called the show?
Yeah, I do.
You do, you? Because mm-hmm. for me, that was like a huge moment. And I have a feeling it's going to be a lot like with this Doug Loves Movies thing.
Yeah.
Right? Where, for me, being on Doug Loves Movies in September is a huge thing in my
yeah,
life.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
For him, it's going to be like a Wednesday.
Yep.
You know, and I always suspected that for you, for when I called in that show,
we're
for
like,
me,
man, this guy keeps bugging us about movies yeah, and yeah. stuff. Right, let's go ahead and put him on.
Let's put him on and get
it
this
was
over
all
with.
Willy-nilly.
Let's
yeah.
give him enough rope to hang himself with and get him out of our lives. But I suspect it was like, you know, a big deal for me calling in. I was super nervous. My stomach was all like in knots and everything when I was doing the phone call. And for these guys, it was just a Monday night.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Yeah. And all these years later. Here we are, Kevin.
Hey, man, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Loved calling to that show.
Especially when you came in, when you started coming in.
That was best.
Yeah.
That was the best. Absolutely. I couldn't come in right away because I was too, again, I was too nervous. Too pants-shittingly nervous. So yeah.
I was like, why don't you just go in? The studio is
right
down literally
and that's the
down
way
the road.
Why don't you just come in? Yeah,
it's like these guys are professionals. I can't deal with this. And then I show up and I realize, oh, they're just a bunch of dudes.
You thought we were professionals.
They're just three dudes
you met us,
sitting in a room.
Yeah, exactly. And then I met him. I was like, oh, wait, I can do this. You're nice guys.
It was good times.
Yeah, fun times. Still keep doing stuff together.
Yeah, oh
yeah. Via SBK Live. It's coming.
All the time.
It's happening. SBK Live is on a bit of a hiatus because just the show's in a flux.
Well, because
with the whole Tampa thing.
I took a new job in Tampa, 102.5 The Bone, every day from 2 to 6, Drew Garabo Live.
There you go.
And I'm working now. I'm commuting 4 hours a day. And I'm trying to figure out my timing with everything.
Yeah.
It's not that we gave up on the show. It's just that I got to figure out it's weird
because
right
the whole
now.
Thing switching your shows on the bone that happened. That was like an administrative thing.
Yeah, that happened.
It's not like they gave you a long lead up, let you know that this was coming.
Right, and we do the show. Everybody would come around 6:30.
Yeah,
and now I'm not getting home until about 8:30.
Right.
So it's just a time thing right now, and I got a lot going on. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to be consistent with the show. So we'll have some new stuff coming soon. Follow us on Twitter at SBK Live for more information.
Absolutely. There you go. What else we got over there? Fox Poppy Lifestyle.
On Twitter, at Etchy gets at us.
Etchy. From Answer Pants. What's up, Etchy?
Welcome to Me is on Netflix. You must review. I'm starting it now. Such high hopes for this film.
Welcome to Me, that Kristen Wiig movie, where she plays, she's got like...
She got her own show.
She got like Asperger's or something.
And she's got a shit ton of money.
I've heard about
and
this.
And she wins a lotto. Yeah. And she decides, oh, I want my own TV show. And
well,
I have
her own network, basically.
Is it a network that
yeah,
she does?
I think so.
I want to see it. I want to see it. Let me see. I told Edgy, because he said he was just starting it. That was a couple of days ago. Let me see if he hit me
this
up.
This is a Netflix original?
No.
It played at the MZN a while ago.
Oh, it's a movie. Okay.
But it is on Netflix for people that have it. Let's see. It looks like Edgy did hit me back up. I asked for a follow-up.
Edgy?
He said, definitely need to write about it and send it to you. Requires more explanation than Twitter allows.
All right.
So maybe you will get a review of Welcome to Me from Edgy for episode 138.
Or you can tweet longer.
Tweet longer? I don't know.
I know it goes against against the whole Twitter thing.
It's like if you can't do it in the movie review haiku, then I don't want it.
Right.
Yeah, so Edgy, hit us up with the Welcome to Me review. We'll definitely read it. What's the other one? And we'll see it eventually someday.
And our buddy at I Love Blood.
Billy D.
He said, I already loved the Training Day TV show when it was called The Shield.
True. You hear about that? They're doing a Training Day TV show?
I think this is going to be better.
than the movie, or better than the Shield?
Oh, it's not going to be better than the movie, but if it's in the same vibe of the TV show. But how long can you keep training a guy? I mean,
that's right. It is.
Some point, the guy's got to get what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the second season, you jump ahead 5 years. The trainee is a trainer of a new guy. Every season, the guy who was the newbie in the previous season becomes the experienced grizzled guy.
I did read something about that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what.
So it was that. All right. We're that informative because you're like, fuck this piece of information.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll watch the show. I'll give
Who's
it a
behind
shot.
The show?
I'll give it a shot.
I just want Denzel to be the chief of police.
Yeah, right? How can he not have Denzel in there somewhere?
Because he's dead?
Because he's Denzel.
Well, at the end of Training Day, yes, but who's to say this is the same Lorenzo's universe? Dead.
He's playing a different character. No, yeah. I have him come back as a different character.
Yeah, he's the chief of police. Why? Because he's Denzel. I just want him. I just want one shot of him behind a desk saying, I'm the chief of police, and that's it.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be the same character. Nope.
And have who plays his character?
Well, it's not his character.
Brendan T. Jackson.
Somebody else.
Brendan T. Jackson.
He was almost Axel Foley. Brendan T. Jackson was going to be Axel Foley for the Beverly Hills Cop TV show.
Yeah.
No, not Axel Foley. Axel Foley's kid.
Right.
And Eddie Murphy was actually have a cameo as Axel Foley. And he was like the chief inspector or some shit.
Okay.
Yeah. But that fell apart.
No.
I say we give it to Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal Buress?
Oh, man.
Have you seen this new show?
Like what, where is,
or why, something like that.
I saw the first one and I did not like it.
I saw a random one.
He's a weird guy.
The show is as awkward as he is. Yes. Like the transitions, jokes.
I didn't like it. I like him better with the Eric Andre show.
Doing on the side thing.
Just
there.
Being a sidekick. I watched that show and I love Hannibal Buress and I was like, what the hell?
It's weird. It's weird. It's awkward. It's very awkward.
It'd be a really awkward TV show.
But I'll watch Hannibal Buress in the Training Day show.
Sure.
Training, who's he training? Can he train a woman?
Who's the white guy?
Can we make the white guy an Asian chick?
Sure.
All right. Just an Asian chick. It doesn't have to be a specific person.
All right. Asian chick it is.
Just want more opportunities for Asians and females.
All right.
So let's knock them out with one rule.
There we go.
Two birds with one stone.
Got it.
What else we got over there?
That's it.
Oh, that's it? That's it for the Vox Pop
Live?
All right. Fair enough. I got some quick movie news here.
Woo!
You didn't watch Deadwood TV show, right?
I sure did.
You didn't?
Swedging.
You sure did it? I sure did it.
I'm familiar. I saw a couple episodes.
I think if Deadwood, the TV show, was on, if it came on TV in the last couple years, it would be much more popular than it was at the time.
Actually, I did watch a couple. I watched a handful of episodes of that
it
show.
It is a while ago now, like 2003, 2004.
They use the C-word a lot on there.
A lot of cussing, and also a lot of very eloquent speech patterns for people that are otherwise idiots and degenerates.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who wrote the show contends that that's the way people spoke back then, because everything was so dirty and fucked up, that at least the way that people try to speak more properly to try to negate everything.
I don't know why I didn't watch that. I mean, I saw like four or five, like a handful of episodes, uh-huh. but I didn't see all of them.
True. I mean, obviously, there's three seasons now, and they're out there. HBO still has them for streaming.
Yeah, I could probably start over. It'd be a brand new show for me.
It starts amazing. The end of season three, they didn't know that they were going to be canceled, and they came up with a very low-key, anticlimactic ending for season three, intending to pick it up with four, mm-hmm. and then they got canceled.
Damn it.
So the show ends up with a very...
Lackluster ending.
Hopefully, they're going to come up with this movie that they're working on.
Doing a Deadwood movie.
Yeah, they're working on the Deadwood movie.
The main guy from Deadwood. Who's the main guy?
Well, there's Ian McShane, who's the old guy.
The old guy. Swear him.
He's the more popular character.
Okay, him.
Sure.
He plays a character on Ray Donovan now.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he plays almost like the same guy.
He just got cast for the next season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I can see that.
I can see that, too. He's going to be awesome.
He's a busy guy.
Until he dies.
Everyone's going to like him, and then he's going to die. And then hopefully he'll die so we can do the Deadwood movie.
Well, you have to die. That's a deep condition of being a Game of Thrones.
Well, if you're going to play a character that people are going to like.
Yeah, they're going to keep killing all the characters.
Or if your name's Sean Bean.
If you're going to play a Bolton, then they're going to keep you around.
No, they're going to kill all the characters on there like they keep doing. And then last season is just going to be like a screen full of screeching dragons. It's just all dragons.
Just an hour of dragons every episode.
Fire, ice, just this whole deal.
Is one of them an ice dragon?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope. You didn't see the Lego movie, right?
No, I saw half of the Lego.
You saw
movie.
Half of it?
Yeah, the second half.
Did you see any Lego Batman in there with Will Arnett as
Batman?
Yes,
I did. Yes.
So that character's so popular that they decided to make a Lego Batman movie. They recently announced who their Lego Robin is going to be, and that's Michael Cera.
Oh.
They just announced who's going to play the Joker.
Okay.
Which is a pretty important character. If you're doing a Batman movie...
Well, you can't have it without the Joker.
Yeah, and it's a pretty important character. Guys, once again, guess who you think might be casting about? With Laurinette as Batman and Michael Cera is Robin, who could possibly be a decent Joker? Maybe I'll push you towards the realm of the comedy. Think more comedic.
Yeah. Zach Galifianakis.
Bingo, bango.
That was random as it goes.
There you go, Kevin.
Good job.
Zach Galifianakis is your Lego Joker.
Damn, I was just pulling stuff out of my ass.
And you nailed it, dude. So I found that pretty interesting.
When you said comedy, I don't know why I went straight to Zach Galifianakis. I think he's funny now.
He is a comedy. You think now?
Now he had to grow on me.
It took a while. Yeah. It took a while. He did a movie recently with Kristen Wiig that Relatively Media was releasing, and it's called a movie called Masterminds, mm-hmm. and they just declared bankruptcy, and they're going through this whole company restructuring thing, so a bunch of their movies now aren't coming out. So they have, there's this Zach Galifianakis Kristen Wiig comedy that was supposed to come out this month, and now it may not come out
ever
for a year, 2-3 years, something like that. It's going to take a while.
Zach Galifianakis he turned me into a fan when he hosted Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, that did it?
Yeah,
that did it. SNL fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched SNL in a while. We mentioned The Rock. He's got another franchise coming down the road. An interesting one.
Can't stop this
guy. Cannot stop this guy. The only guy that can stop him is himself if he does a lot of whack movies.
Yeah.
And I even like his new TV show, Ballers.
I've yet to watch it.
It's pretty good. It's him being a badass, wearing nice suits.
Him being a badass sports agent, right? Is he an agent?
He's a financial advisor, a financial planner.
Oh, shit.
He does the money.
Oh, that's...
Yeah,
that's
but he's like really respected because he was a really good football player.
Okay.
He's just wearing like... really awesome clothes, driving fancy cars,
I'm sure hot women. I'm sure Dwayne Johnson must hate that, having to show up like wearing awesome clothes and cool jewelry.
He's a cool guy in every scene.
Yeah. Just be cool.
Riding down the street, singing Taylor Swift songs.
Be cool, Dwayne.
Yeah.
Well, they got him in a R-rated comedy adaptation of a very popular 90s television show. I will start naming actors from the original show. Let's see how quickly you can name the show. All right, and I think it's gonna happen fast. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
David Hasselhoff,
Knight Rider,
Pamela Anderson,
Baywatch.
Yes, they're making a Baywatch movie, an R-rated
with The Rock.
With The Rock,
yeah, I can see him running on the beach.
And Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah,
those are your two main stars.
Well, what about the women? That's all about the women.
They haven't announced any who they cast for the women yet.
Okay, that's gonna be easy.
Yeah, but that's also important.
Get that
too,
chick
right?
from Wolf of Wall Street.
Margot Robbie.
Get her.
Yep.
And then get who's the other chick that was in the movie with Brooklyn Decker?
She's not a good actress, though.
No. I don't care. Who cares?
She's not good. It's
a Baywatch movie.
I even watched the movie that she was in with Leslie Mann and Cameron Diaz.
Not that. The movie where she was with
Adam Sandler.
And she was getting out of the pool in that yellow bikini.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Actually, you know what? I think I'm thinking of someone else. Who am I thinking of? What's the name of that chick that's from here? Matt loves her.
Oh, man.
She's the one with the she's all top and no bottom.
Her. Yeah.
What's her name?
Kylie Jenner. No, let me think.
Sports Illustrated, she was in the snow.
Boobs McGee.
Yeah. Boobs Radley.
I see her face.
Hootie McBoob.
Hootie McBoob. I see her, but I don't like her.
Titty McCleavage.
Yes.
Brooklyn Decker is better than her, for sure. Okay, I'll go with Brooklyn Decker.
All right, cool.
You sold me.
And some other chicks.
And some other chicks. Random chicks.
There's tons of hot chicks that can get in a bikini.
It's all about The Rock.
Right.
Yeah. I want to see him.
Yes.
He's the man. Purge 3 is happening. Yeah.
Of course.
I'm just going to mention that. Just going to throw it out there. Oh, they're bringing back Frank Grillo for the Purge 3. Sure. So.
No, sweet.
That's pretty good. So they're working on Godzilla 2, and they're going to try something
Godzilla
new.
Godzilla again?
Yeah, Godzilla again.
This is getting like the Hulk movies.
I hope that's what they call it, too. I hope they call it Godzilla again with a question mark. but they're doing something new. There's a new combination of practical effects and CG that they're doing.
CG.
And it's actually being done for this Japanese film that's an adaptation of an anime, a popular anime over there called Attack on Titan. And this anime is on Netflix.
Oh, I thought you meant a movie called Anime.
How come there hasn't been a movie called Anime?
I'm Anime.
There's a show called Attack on Titan. It's a animated show, and it's about it's a future world where all the cities are walled off, giant walls. And the reason they're walled off is because outside the cities are these like 200-foot tall human type people that are like attacking the cities, but they have like their musculatures all exposed and everything, and they're like picking people up and they're eating them and stuff.
That ain't cool.
Yeah, and they've made a live action version of this show into a movie over in Japan, and they have a specific way of pulling off the effect. And it says here, the work combines computer graphics with manipulating a towering doll of rippling red muscle that resembles a giant biological anatomy chart, as well as special effects filmmaking using actors moving through miniatures to depict grotesquely enlarged humans.
Grotesquely.
So imagine, think of the original Godzilla movies. Mm-hmm. It's always a man in a suit.
Right.
And then he's walking around the cardboard city.
Yes.
And he's knocking shit over, right? They're doing a combination of like giant dolls, a giant puppet, and people set against miniature cities, but also with digital cities. You know, okay. All that stuff is being combined together to have the effect of 200 tall people attacking a city. They're going to do the same thing for the next Godzilla movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're going a long way now to really perfecting the mixture of the practical and the CG. That's where the future's at.
Right.
You know, with Star Wars, they're going, the mantra on Star Wars is all practical effects. Everything about the Star Wars movie, almost everything, like 90% of the movie is practical. They actually built the stuff. Not so much, much less CG as opposed to the other Star Wars movies. We're coming to a point where all that stuff is melding together, and movies are going to be amazing.
I'll buy that.
For sure. So I'm actually looking forward to Godzilla 2. I mean, I like the first one. Did you even watch it? Is another one you fell asleep in?
I watched the one with, not the one with Alan Cranston, right?
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
What, the one with Matthew Broderick?
The one with Puff Daddy.
Yeah, no, dude. I tell you this. This most recent one, it's better than the Matthew Broderick Puff Daddy.
Okay.
Din-in-it.
I like that song, man. I'm sorry, man.
That song gives Drew angina.
I know. It does.
Okay. Let's start rapping this thing.
It's no Limp Bizkit.
No, it's not. Oh, I did it all for the Nookie, Kevin. I did it all for the Nookie. And you gotta have faith. I had that album. I'll admit it. I had terrible taste when I was a teenager.
Me too.
Let's do the lightning round. How about that? Here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Kevin. I got 10 questions here. So I'm going to need 10 answers. Drew, if you're not too busy, please start that clock.
And go.
Number one, do you like movies about gladiators?
Ah, oh, yes. Earth and water.
Number two, do they speak English in what?
Man, I would love to have a Jerry Curl.
Number three, what does dumb fuck mean?
It means she's stupid.
Number four, are you a god?
With a small g.
Number five, what are you rebelling against?
The man.
Number six, who's on first?
What?
Number seven. Our fathers were our models for God. If our fathers bailed, what does that tell you about God?
He's got to go.
Number eight. You know what it takes to sell real estate?
Oh. What? I need a new place to live.
That's what it takes to sell real estate? You need a place to live?
Yeah.
Okay. Number nine. Where is fancy bread? In the heart or in the head?
It's in the heart.
And number 10, are you not Romeo and a Montague?
Oh, we.
All right, there you go. Lightning round. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that.
I don't know how you're supposed to do this lightning round, man.
Hey, it's tough. Lightning rounds are not easy.
All right, okay.
Okay, well, time for some swag baggery. Drew Sikogren, please present Kevin with his three choices of swag bag. Wrong bag there. There you go. Kevin.
Green.
Green bag. You went with the green bag. Drew, please break out the green bag. Tell Kevin what he gets to take home.
There's something to eat in there.
Hop into Easter Bunny Slingshot.
Slingshot. Easter Slingshot.
Oh, there yeah. I'll sling. from Slinging Bunnies?
Charlie Giggles love
we
that.
We get you a copy of Treasure Hunt, $1.95. Superman Returns, the movie.
Superman Returns on DVD.
This is the one that no one likes.
Yes.
Okay.
The one with Kevin Spacey.
We yes. got you 75 Wiggle Eyes.
Wiggle Eyes. Not Google Eyes, because Googly Eyes.
I like these. I'll put these on.
Speaking of food, we got you a superhero lollipop.
Oh, man, I can tear this lollipop.
And a coin bank full of Tootsie Rolls.
Tootsie Rolls.
What? Are these Tootsie Rolls in here?
Oh,
Tootsie
yeah.
Rolls. Actual Tootsie Rolls in there, buddy.
Hell yeah.
So here you go. You can take all that stuff home with you. Or, Kevin.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Or you take what's in the box.
Who's in the box?
Drew's got the box over there. It's right next to you.
Oh, I got the box.
Yeah, you got the box.
Man, last time, the box did me well.
You remember what you got last time?
I got a gift certificate to Carrabba's.
You got a gift card, that's right.
A gift card to Carrabba's.
That's right. So what do you want to do this time? You want to go what's in the box, or you want to take home the slingshot, the lollipop, the Google Eyes, the movie, the piggy bank full of Tootsie Rolls?
I wish this wasn't sealed. I could get one Tootsie Roll. Let's go for the box.
Go for the box. Here we go.
Go for the box.
Open up the box. Reach inside. What's inside?
A dead skunk.
What do you got?
Oh, a pair of shades.
Shade glasses?
Shutter shades.
Oh. You cannot eat those, but they're all yours. All
right, I'm going to wear them in good health.
They're Kanye West-style shade sunglasses.
Yeah.
He did popularize that style of goofy glasses.
I can bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a couple years.
Yeah, okay.
You can take home the Tootsie Rolls.
No, I'm okay. No. I play the game.
You shouldn't be eating that kind of stuff anyway, man.
Well, you know, one or ten of them won't hurt you.
All right, I'm going to shut that off there. Kevin.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, buddy.
All right. Was that a handshake?
My man, my buddy.
All right.
I appreciate it. Drew Zicogreen, thank you.
Very welcome,
call me Yace Boon Coon.
Well, call you what? So I call you Yaku.
No, I'm not Yaku. I'm the opposite of Yaku.
The maker and creator of the devil?
Yeah.
Don't want to be no Yaku. What, Yaku?
Yeah.
I don't think so. No. I hope not. No, should I?
I don't know.
Probably not. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me once again. No. Good luck on your appearance on September 9th.
Thank you. Yes. I'm looking forward to it. Remember, you can email us with that keyword. What is it?
Compton.
That's the whole phrase right there. I'll add you to the drawing. And the next week's show, the cutoff to enter the drawing will be next Saturday. Next Sunday, we'll do the show. We'll announce the winners. And everyone else, $20. Buy a ticket. Come see me on Douglas News.
I'm going home to make some tacos.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I had some lobster tails or lobster claws. I'm going to throw them away because they're kind of fishy.
You don't want to mess with.
Because when I opened the refrigerator, I didn't think, ooh, lobster. I felt, something's fishy.
Oh, smell.
Yeah, that, so that's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah, no. Kind of gamey.
You got to go with the scent when you're going with food like that. With the proteins.
Definitely with the protein.
Yeah, smell it. It doesn't smell good. Don't
trust your nose.
Trust your nose.
And if there's a slime on it,
No. Don't wipe off the slime. Don't try to cover up the taste with salt. Just get rid of it.
Cook it out.
No, don't cook it out. No.
Put it on a smoker.
I tried cooking out some ribs once. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even put the first one in my mouth. It's like, oh, this smells terrible.
Even after cooking and
seasoning. Yeah.
Still, you were trying like, hard, but
this is not good.
Yeah,
green ribs.
That's bad.
Don't eat the green ribs.
No, never.
Never. All right, people. Thank you for downloading. Support the show. Make sure you rate and review us on iTunes. Support R-rated movies. Get your money out of the banks. Read more books. And be excellent to each other. We're out of here.